KNIC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 22 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by General Motors. If you have a child attending Larkspur Elementary, you need to pick that child up. Larkspur Elementary closed this morning after classes began due to some frozen pipes. The school is calling students' homes to notify parents. If the parents are home, students will be bused back home. But if a parent can't be reached, the child will have to remain at the school until a guardian picks them up. Maintenance crews are working on the problem. They hope to have the school reopened by tomorrow morning. Meanwhile, Douglas County High School closed today because of a broken water main. No word on how long it may take to fix that pipe, though cold weather may delay that repair. TED takes off today. That's United's new low-cost airline with flights today to Orlando and Las Vegas. More flights to be added in the coming weeks. Elizabeth Luna with AAA thinks that TED will make an impact.
I suspect that TED will come out with the fare war to entice the consumer to try their new product.
However, William Oliver with the Evergreen-based consultant company called The Boyd Group, an airline consultant company, doesn't have much optimism for TED.
Don't see him hurting Frontier. Unless they undercut Frontier, and then all of the additional revenue by running full planes, assuming full planes, will go away.
United started TED to compete with carriers like Southwest, JetBlue, and Denver-based rival airline Frontier. The Denver Water Board is holding a meeting tonight, and they have invited the public to attend. The open forum will focus on the upcoming year and the water situation, including restrictions for 2004 in the Mile High City. Preliminary plans will be introduced, and public input will be accepted. At the meeting in the Cheeseman Room at the DWB offices, 1600 West 12th Avenue, that's tonight at 6 o'clock. The University of Colorado is willing to look into changes in its policies in athletic recruiting, hoping that may resolve three lawsuits against the school. The suits are related to a recruiting party back in 2001 where two of the suits claim that the women filing the lawsuits were sexually assaulted at the recruiting party. CU President Betsy Hoffman says if the suits were dropped, since the women have reportedly said they just want things to change, not money, the school would be willing to discuss the issues with the women. CU says the women have ignored or refused requests to that effect so far. CU also denies that alcohol and sex are offered to recruits to attract them to the school, as is claimed in those lawsuits. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says there is no timetable for the passing over of security responsibility to Iraqis.
The Iraqis now have 200,000 security forces of various types. Police, border patrol, civil defense groups, site protection. They are increasingly taking over more and more of the responsibility.
The U.S. hopes to start handing over governing authority this summer, but Rumsfeld said coalition military forces will be ready to help control post-war security problems indefinitely. He also rejected suggestions that U.S. military forces are stretched too thin, and he said the North Korea nuclear crisis remains on a diplomatic track. Another security alert has once again led to a cancellation of some British Airways flights. British Airways says it will cancel flight 223 from London to Washington, scheduled for this Sunday, and will also take flight 263 from London to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, off the board as well. This is the fifth time that the Heathrow to Washington flight has been canceled since January 1st. NASA Administrator Sean O'Keefe says it's doubtful that the space agency will meet its ambitious goal of returning the space shuttle to flight by this fall.
So I have my doubts, and I do not believe that the September-October time frame will be met.
O'Keefe says that engineers are still trying to redesign portions of the external fuel tank and create a new robotic arm that could be used to examine the underside of the shuttle once it is in orbit. With just 2 hours left in today's trading session, stocks are lower. The Dow is down more than 35 points. The Nasdaq off nearly 14. The S&P 500 down 5 points. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche are headed east while the Denver Nuggets go west. The Avs will play the Blues in St. Louis tonight. When they last got together in December, the Avs and Blues tied at 3 each. Nuggets, meanwhile, head to Portland to play the Trailblazers tonight. Nuggets beat the Trailblazers earlier this month when they last got together. Even when traffic's light, anything can happen. Be prepared with OnStar. Advisors are ready to help 24 hours a day. Plus, OnStar personal calling and virtual advisor help you avoid delays ahead. OnStar, always there, always ready. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:04.
As America continues its war on terrorism, AM 1150 KNRC is here with you.
The only way to defeat terrorism as a threat to our way of life is to stop it, eliminate it, and destroy it where it grows.
We'll update you when the government issues an alert, and this is the best place to talk about it. Talk about it. Hear both sides. AM 1150, KNRC. Warning, listening to AM 1150 KNRC can be addictive, but never hazardous to your health. Tell your friends about Denver's most compelling radio talk station, AM 1150 KNRC.
Warm up your winter with a roof-raising celebration of the music and times of electrifying jazz legend Alberta Hunter. Told in the Key of Blues, the new Denver Civic Theater at 721 Santa Fe Drive presents a loving tribute to an icon of the blues, legendary songstress Alberta Hunter, whose international career spans a century. According to the Denver Post, these two actresses are as good as anyone doing anything on Broadway. Cookery is a bio-musical that has a life story worth retelling. Great seats are still available. Call today, 303-309-3773. Cookin' at the Cookery, set in 1977, is written, directed, and choreographed by Marion J. Caffey. It stars Tony nominee Ernestine Jackson and Janice Lorraine, who impersonates Hunter with sass, energy, and musical savvy, said Donald Lyons of the New York Post. Tickets are just $40 Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m., weekend matinees at 3 p.m., Sunday at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale at Tickets West Outlets King Supers by calling 866-464-2626 or call the theater at 303-309-3773.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Trying to clear up two trouble spots. This traffic report brought to you by John Elway Auto Nation. Northbound I-25 right before Santa Fe. An injury accident that's causing delays all the way back to the tech center. Injury accident 58th at I-25. Watch for an injury accident there as well. At all John Elway showrooms, get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. No worries at all when you get a John Elway certified used vehicle. Honest, I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Mostly sunny today, our high 26. Tonight, just a few clouds down to 9. For tomorrow, partly cloudy, much warmer, 45, and sunshine and 46 for Saturday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny skies now, 22 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. Tim Egan, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist from the New York Times, has canceled today. His plane isn't going to get in time, so unfortunately we're not going to be able to have him on. But tomorrow, live from the Denver Press Club, it's our Valentine's Day edition of the show because we're the day before Valentine's Day. And also next week, Richard Florida, a man who's written a book that has had a tremendous impact on a lot of cities around America, including Denver, called The Rise of the Creative Class. A lot of cities are taking his book to heart, trying to create classes of creative people, making the cities very creative in order to attract people who are interested in the arts and so on, because it makes a better workforce for a lot of different industries, including high tech. So his ideas are having an enormous impact. I thought it would be very interesting to talk about him and find out exactly what his ideas are, how they are affecting Denver and other cities around the country. So he's going to be joining us. We're going to be giving away tickets today, two pairs of tickets to the Art Garfunkel concert, scheduled a week from tonight, Feb 19, 7:30 p.m., Betcher Concert Hall. The value of each pair of tickets is worth about $80, and we're going to be giving away, two gift baskets today from Sweet Utopia. You have to pick them up at the store, and the store is at 2337 West 44th. It's 44th and Zuni in Denver, and the gift basket has got a dozen red roses in it, a box of hand-dipped chocolate truffles, an aromatherapy candle, whatever that may be, and the basket is worth, valued at $70. We'll give away two of those today. So those are some reasons for listening to Enid Live, but I have to tell you that the main reason for listening to Enid Live, the Drudge Report, wow, big story. Big story. Could be opposition research, could be fake. I can't believe it's on there. Just as Kerry, John Kerry, is mowing over all the competition, rolling to number one, listen to what the Drudge Report has to say. Don't know if it's true. Don't know if it isn't true. Here it is. They're claiming a world exclusive that we have to credit the Drudge Report. A frantic behind-the-scenes drama is unfolding around Senator John Kerry and his his bid to lock up the Democratic nomination. Let's see if we can bring that up here. Here it is. Some of this has been cut off on my report. I printed it out, and I'm only getting part of it. So I want to read you. I want to read you the whole thing. Okay. They're predicting ruin for him. Intrigue is surrounding a woman who recently fled the country, reportedly at the prodding of John Kerry, the Drudge Report has learned. A serious investigation of the woman and the nature of her relationship with John Kerry has been underway at Time Magazine, ABC News, The Washington Post, The Hill, and the Associated Press, where the woman in question once worked. A close friend of the woman first approached a reporter late last year, claiming fantastic stories, stories that now threaten to turn the race for the presidency on its head. In an off-the-record conversation with a dozen reporters earlier this week, General Wesley Clark plainly stated Kerry will implode over an intern issue. Three reporters in attendance confirm that General Clark made the startling comments. The Kerry commotion is why Howard Dean has turned increasingly aggressive against Kerry in recent days and is the key reason why Dean reversed his decision to drop out of the race after Wisconsin. This is according to top campaign sources. The story is developing, but here is a campaign drama rocking the Democrats. John Kerry fighting off a media probe of recent alleged infidelity. Rivals predict the ruin for his campaign, his candidacy, and that it's going to sink him. Now, remember that the Drudge Report, first broke the Monica Lewinsky story. And so that was what put Drudge on the map. The Drudge Report, it's an internet report, and he has links to a lot of different sites. I think he's kind of a conservative. Maybe he's not always conservative on the issues. It's hard to know whether there's any real truth behind this story or if it's rumor that by the time the air clears, Kerry will be sunk insofar as a rival to George W. Dickey Bush. My question is, do you believe it? Is it true? Do you think it's a possibility? The tabs were full of stories about Kerry when he separated from his first wife. Apparently, he was very nearly homeless when he married Teresa Hines. She's got a lot of money. Her husband was John Hines. He was a senator killed in a plane crash, and he's from the Hines ketchup family, Hines 57 varieties, which I hope didn't describe their lovemaking activities. But in any event, she inherited more than half a billion dollars. So they call the two of them Cash and Kerry. She has a lot of dough, and she has a philanthropic foundation. She was regarded before the campaigning began as possibly a loose cannon because she says whatever she wants to say, whatever she thinks. She's a rich woman. She can do it, and they were hoping that she wouldn't sink the campaign. Teresa Hines Kerry, she used to call herself only Teresa Hines, and referred to her husband referred to John Hines, the one who died, as my husband. So what is John Kerry? Chop liver, but at least they're both named John. So in the moment of passion, if she says, oh, John, she won't be wrong. Anyway, here it is, a potential campaign scandal. Is it true? Or is this the work of the dirty tricks part of a campaign? Here's what the tabs were full of. John Kerry's first marriage was to a woman, also an heiress, who had a lot of money, very, very depressed. They had two children together. These children are now, you know, adults, grown in their 20s. One's studying to be a doctor, one's, I believe, studying to be a filmmaker. And the first wife suffered from depression and wrote a book about it. They were separated for many years before they actually finally got divorced. And in those years when John Kerry was single, the tabs are full of reports that he was going out with starlets, that he smoked dope. But he says he smoked dope in Vietnam, which would have made sense, and it would be pointless for him to deny it anyway, because I think everybody was smoking dope in Vietnam. So that's number one. And they're alleging that he had plastic surgery. He said because he had jaw problems that they did. If he had plastic surgery to make him more handsome, I would say that he needs to get his money back. When you look at him when he was younger, he was really homely. He's somebody whose homeliness has worked for him, and he's actually gotten more attractive as he's gotten older, gotten more powerful. There's something kind of attractive about him. But if you look at his features, he's kind of homely. So that's the story of John Kerry. Now, here he is picking up major, major steam against George W. Dickey Bush. We know that the White House is nasty in terms of payback. All you have to do is look at Valerie Plame to know that that's the case. We know they won't stop at anything. We know that there's a lot riding on the re-election because they're going to, when they don't have to run again, believe me, the country is going to be up for sale. Big time. They're going to pillage it. They're going to loot it. They're going to rape it. They're going to do everything they can to line their own pockets and the pockets of their friends. They're going to do what's good for them. They're not going to do what's good for us. They don't really give a damn about us. The hell with us. We're just, they just love us. It's like dating. You know, as long as they get us into bed for that one vote, that's it. You never hear from them again, and they're not there to do you any good. They woo you and they screw you, and then that's the end of that. So, they got all this rhetoric. I'm a uniter. I'm not a divider. I'm going to restore honor and dignity to the White House. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We don't know if there's any merit to these charges. We don't know whether if someone, in fact, making these charges about having an illicit affair with John Kerry, we don't know whether that person actually exists. We don't know if it's even true. Maybe it's somebody who's a closet Republican and is going to allege all these things and long enough to sink the candidacy of Kerry, or enough so that he can't possibly recover and be a force for George W. Dickey Bush to deal with before they clear the air after the election, and then we find out there was nothing to the story, or that it was all concocted, or that it was all campaign dirty tricks. We don't know. But apparently there's a campaign drama rocking Democrats. John Kerry fights off media probe of recent alleged infidelity. Rivals predict ruin. It could be a replay of an intern or kind of an intern story. Although she, person in question, is said to have worked for one of the news services. Don't know if any of this is true. Don't know if Drudge is being used. I think he's been used in the past. So this is going to be a blockbuster for everybody. Assuming for the moment that there is some truth to this story, and I really hope that there is not any, but if there is some truth to this story, a couple of questions present themselves. First of all, who would be the best candidate to take up the mantle? Wesley Clark has dropped out of the race, and I don't see him dropping back in. I don't know if suddenly his luster is restored because of this incident that Kerry's going to have to deal with. Maybe he will cut back in. I don't know. But so far he's failed to connect. Does this up the ante for John Edwards, who's looking better and better and better as the days go by? Does this up the ante for Howard Dean? Does his luster get restored? Who is the candidate who can best beat George W. Dickey Bush? What is the impact? Is there any truth, do you think? I'm going to open up the lines. I'd love to have your thoughts on this. 303-382-1150. Do you believe that this is possible? I guess it's always possible. Do you think that Drudge is being used? Do you think this is campaign dirty tricks? If it's true that John Kerry has had an affair with someone not his wife, now I don't know how old the person is in question, how would they deflect it if in fact that does become the story? How would John Kerry's luster be restored? You know, if we had known what we knew about JFK, you know, and I don't know that this woman is an intern. She may simply have been a news person or somebody working at the AP, or I don't know what. I mean, he's got to be nuts to be doing this as he's contemplating a run-up to the presidency. One presumes that this occurred before he announced as a candidate. He's got to be crazy in these days, in this time and place. First of all, I'll tell you why he's crazy. He's crazy to rock a relationship. It is reported that this man was practically homeless before he married Teresa Hines. I mean, he's making a salary of $158,000 a year or so as a senator. But he didn't actually have a place to live. He'd sold one place and he was staying with friends here and there and the other. And then he marries her and they move into some $6 million digs here and other $1 million worth of digs there. And so he's nuts in any way jeopardize his relationship with somebody who is not only his wife, but a meal ticket. I mean, this is crazy. And if he's contemplating a run-up for the presidency, it's absolutely nuts. So if he can't control his appetites. But I don't know that we've ever heard any rumors about him in this way. He was single for a long time, and then anything he did when he was single, so who cares if he was dating starlets? What do they say about politicians? They're just guys who are too ugly to be in show business. 303-382-1150. We don't know if she's an intern or if they're just planting the seeds of, intern, to bring up the Bill Clinton issue. 303-382-1150. Do you think it's true? A. Do you think if it is true, who's the best candidate? How is the best way for them to handle it? In the case of Bill Clinton, if you remember the 60 Minutes interview, it was Hillary doing Stand By Your Man. Essentially what she told Steve Croft, I think he was the interviewer, she said, you know what? She said, this is, we've dealt, you know, this is between us. In other words, you got the impression she knew what the story was. If it was going to be okay with her, it was their marriage, then it's going to be okay with us. Let's go to the phones. Adam, calling from Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon, Enid. I have been looking around the internet. I went to the Drudge Report and read this, and then I looked at the Washington Post, ABC News, CBS News, the local websites. This isn't anywhere. So I don't know. Do you think maybe this is just...
They could have been using him. The Republicans could have been using him. It may not be anything, but it's enough to create so much doubt about John Kerry that it actually a fake story might have a significant impact on sinking him. I hope this is fake. I hope there's no truth to it. But if it's fake, boy, this is a
bombshell. Boy, they're desperate. You know, the guys...
Well, it shows you how scared they are.
He's good-looking. He's tall. He looks presidential. I mean, they'll do anything.
He said he's distinguished military record.
Anything. I mean, and what's with Colin Powell yesterday getting hostile at that congressional meeting? These guys are just scared to death.
Well, I guess he chewed out a lower ranking person in public, right?
That's what I read. I read that he was, the kid was like sitting behind. He's like he's probably an intern or something, and he was like just shaking his head, you know, kind of in disbelief of what he had heard from Colin Powell a year ago.
Oh, and
what he's hearing now. I'd be shaking my head, too.
So what did Colin Powell do? Because I saw the story, but I didn't actually see the footage.
Well, I wish I had it in front of me again, but it was something to the effect that what, young man, do you have some comment, or are you, and then he went on to say something.
Oh, he saw him shaking his head in disbelief, and so then he reamed him?
Right, and then he said, I've never been testifying in front of a congressional hearing with people editorializing by shaking their head. It's like... I mean, these guys are positive.
Maybe the kids got Parkinson's or Tourette's or something.
Wouldn't he feel terrible if that were the case?
Well, then he'd need, you know what? It tells you that Colin Powell is very insecure, and he has come under a lot of criticism because he's trying to walk both sides of the street, and he's trying to have it both ways. And even before he became Secretary of State, there were a number of stories about him being a careerist, you know, sucking up, putting his knee pads on and sucking up to whoever he had to suck up to. And he has been quoted as saying that there's no principle that he would resign over. So I think that tells us everything we need to know about Colin Powell, even though I sort of like him, but still.
I do, too. But do you think any changes will be made? And I'm trying to remember.
If people wake up and realize how badly they're getting screwed, then maybe there's a chance for change to happen. I thank you, Adam, for the call. 303-382-1150. Preston calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Preston.
Speaking of Colin Powell, in his autobiography, there's a line about how it angered him so much during the Vietnam War that people used the National Guard to avoid service. That's in Colin Powell's autobiography.
Oh, really? That
yeah.
They use the National Guard? So there he is serving with somebody who was in the Champagne unit
That's
of
right.
the National Guard, or
That's
the Champagne
right.
eunuch of the National Guard, one of those two.
And on the Kerry issue...
Do you think it's true?
I think there's a pretty good chance of that. I think.
Why do you think?
You know, I think a lot of these guys who get into these powerful positions are...
Might have been taking Cialis or something where you have a four hours erection, you got to go to the doctor in a wheelbarrow.
right. Participating in a study for one of the pharmaceutical lobbies.
Really, yeah.
It reminds me of a video I got from the library about the Roman Empire and how their Senate spent a lot of time doing this kind of thing. The senators would go after rival senators by talking about their lurid behavior at the orgy or whatever, and how they had misbehaved and weren't holding up the high standards that they usually did in the Roman Senate, and they'd kind of smear people like this. And
do you think it's true? Will he? Can he recover from it? And if he can, who's going to be the best candidate to take on George W. Dickey Bush?
That's a good question. I'm hoping they all kind of fall, and that Kucinich will be the only one left standing.
Oh, Kucinich. They're busy fixing him up with women who have no hair left on their heads.
Right. And,
and they'll be tearing out the rest of it if they wind up with Kucinich. I mean, I like his comments and stuff, but there's no hope for him. What, Preston?
I don't know if you've ever watched the Bill Moyers show now.
I have seen snippets, but they're going to do something on radio tomorrow night that I want to see, right?
That's what I wanted to mention to you. It's
what time does it air here in Denver?
9 p.m. I think that's Channel 6, the PBS station.
All right, Channel 6 at 9 p.m.
Yeah, and they're going to do a big show on talk radio. And the snippet that I saw, it had a right-winger talking about Kerry looking French, the usual thing. And then
Kerry's got a Jewish grandfather and grandmother. Hmm. The name was Cohen. It became Kerry, and he says he only just found out about it.
Yeah.
So, and Wesley Clark has a Jewish father that he only just found out about. I mean, apparently there are a lot of Jews hiding in the closet. Nobody knows that they're there. They open up the closet, and they run out and spawn presidential candidates, plus secretaries of state. All right, Preston, we got to go. I thank you for
thank
the call.
You.
303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You, lucky you, are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live, the pre-Valentine's Day edition of Enid Live. I don't think this is a Valentine for John Kerry, but we're talking about these allegations surfacing on the Drudge Report that there could be that there are rumors of marital infidelity, and they're trying to drag up old intern kinds of scenarios. The campaign is rocked. Is there any truth to it? Do you think this is just dirty tricks from the campaign? What do you think is the story here, and what do you think will the fallout be? And if Kerry gets sunk because of this, who is the best candidate to take on Dickie Boy? I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Looking for an alternative to Rush middays? Hear Enid Goldstein, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Got Valentine? Get Sweet Utopia. Sweet Utopia offers a unique array of sexy and sweet gifts to choose from. Breathe the air scented with oils and aromatherapy candles. Delight in the hand-dipped chocolate truffles filled with passion fruit and rose ganache. Sweet Utopia carries the full line of Kama Sutra products, massage oils, and Essence de Provence lavender from France. The silk pillows, handcrafted champagne glasses, and fine jewelry are sure to please your senses. Sweet Utopia's Valentine's special, one dozen roses, one box of chocolate truffles, and a heart-shaped aromatherapy candle is a beautiful way to say, I love you. Come experience Sweet Utopia just off the corner of Zunai and 44th Avenue in historic Northwest Denver. Open Wednesday through Sunday, 303-403-1000.
The following is a real conversation between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber. It took place on November 19th, 2003.
OnStar Center, this is Bernard. How may I help you?
I just came in a restaurant. You're not going to believe this. I went to the bathroom. My keys were in my pocket, and they went down the toilet.
Oh, wow.
I'm so upset. I don't know what to do.
I do understand, ma'am. What we can do is this. We'll call Roadside Assistance for you. We'll have them make you a new set of keys, and they'll deliver keys to you, okay?
Thank you.
It's okay. It's going to be all right.
Do you know what they'll charge me for a new set of keys?
Your vehicle's under warranty. It's not going to be a charge at all. Now, I just need to locate your account. Give me your home number. Area code first, please.
810-678.
Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
Is everything better for you now?
I appreciate it so much.
Well, you're welcome, ma'am. I'm glad I could help you, and I'm so glad you're not upset anymore.
Thank you.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Mike Reagan. Join me weeknights at 6 p.m. as Denver's Best Afternoon and Early Evening Talk continues exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
How can you even suggest that a Vietnam veteran like Kerry or any of them are not patriotic? He was a hero there. This is the kind of big lie that's coming out of this current administration that I think the American people are sick of.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1229 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're going to give away our Garfunkel tickets. We're going to give away gift baskets for Valentine's Day. We're going to do a lot of things. But the hot story, if you are just tuning in, is that on the Drudge Report, they are reporting that there's a campaign drama rocking the Kerry campaign, allegations of some sort of marital infidelity. They're alleging that a lot of other news outlets are working on it. You just heard the voice of Jane Fonda, who said the idea of calling Kerry unpatriotic when he had distinguished service is exactly right, an example. And this is out of the big lies coming out of this administration. And they dug up a picture from the early 70s of Jane Fonda at some rally in the front row and Kerry a couple of rows back, like they're trying to link the two of them. This is like 30-some years ago. She never met him then. He didn't meet her then. He was a nobody. She was a star. I mean, give me a break. This is how far they're reaching. Is this a campaign dirty trick? Or do you think that there's something involved here? 303-382-1150. And if there is, who would be the best campaign? Best candidate, Democratic candidate, to go up against Dickie. Steve, calling from Louisville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I would say that if this is true, that Kerry was involved with an intern, and...
You're saying that it is true?
It was. No, I'm saying if it is true, he's finished. And for me, a Republican, that's just good news, because he was the biggest threat to George Bush.
But what if it's just campaign dirty tricks? And by the time they clear the air, it's going to be too late.
Well, I qualify by saying if. And I don't know whether it's true or it's false.
Who do you think would be the best candidate, the Democratic, the next strongest candidate?
The only candidate I believe that could beat Bush besides Kerry would be Edwards. Wesley Clark is a loose cannon. He contradicts himself constantly, and his past contradictions, plus his being fired as head of NATO in Kosovo, will come back to haunt him. Dean has no hope, and so Edwards would be the one if this is actually true, or maybe Hillary if they can draft Hillary.
Okay, so you think Edwards and Hillary are a ticket?
I don't know about that.
There could be a lot of juice. Steve? That's not a bad conjecture. There could be a lot of juice with Edwards and Hillary as a ticket.
It might happen, but to me, Kerry was the biggest threat. If it's true, and we don't know whether it's true or not, he's finished.
Okay, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. All right, from the Congressional Quarterly. Craig Crawford sends associates an email, and here's what it says. It says, Drudge item on Kerry intern issue is something that Chris Lehane, Clark's press secretary, has shopped around for a long time. It was one reason the Gore vetters in 2000 shied away from Kerry as a running mate choice. Now, if he was shopping that thing around in the year 2000, how old is this news? Their conclusion that it wasn't bad enough to disqualify him except for the fact that they couldn't risk it as they were trying so hard to distance themselves from Clinton's personal failings. Note, Lehane worked for Gore at the time and briefly advised Kerry during this campaign. The Kerry camp has long expected to deal with this and have assured party leaders they can handle it. Crawford reports that Chris Lehane strenuously denies involvement. So here's somebody who's been the press secretary to Wesley Clark, who has worked on the Kerry campaign. Apparently, he's been known to have shopped this story around for a long time about Kerry and an intern. How long ago did it actually happen then? If it's not new news, who cares? 303-382-1150. Can Kerry recover? Hal, calling from Commerce City. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Hal.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. And to you.
Hey, yeah, thanks. Hey, I call George Bush Dickie Bush just to tell you where my cultural level is. There's a Steven Spielberg cartoon, Pinky and the Brain. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not.
Mm-mm.
It's about two mice, and every night Pinky tells the Brain, he kind of looks like Cheney. He says, what are we going to do tonight, Brain? He says, what we do every night, Pinky, try and take over the world. So I think you call him Pinky and the Brain. Cheney can be the Brain and Bush can be Pinky.
Well, Cheney is the Brain as far as the biographers are concerned.
Exactly. I just heard, before I flipped over to you, I was listening to the other station, And he's saying that Wesley Clark gave this information to a reporter, and that he was seen yelling at this reporter that it was supposed to be a confidential information. So,
well, Clark was alleged to have said that the campaign's going to implode over an intern issue. So they're trying to sink it. Is this the Clintons trying to keep everything alive for Hillary in four more years? Is that the story?
I don't know what I don't know. You know, heck, who knows what's going on? But anyway, that's just what I had heard. And if it's true, yeah, I think people had enough of that with Clinton that Kerry's finished. So
well, we'll see what happens, Hal. Thank you for the call. And I wonder if there was any truth to it, actually. Liam, calling from Congress Park. Are you live with Enid?
Well, hello, and I'm glad to be alive, and I'm glad you're alive, too.
Thank you.
To paraphrase Mark Twain, there are lies, damn lies, and Matt Drudge. And even...
He would have said that if he were living when Matt Drudge was.
Here's this closet case gossip who thinks he's channeling Walter Winchell, even wears the fedora, right?
Right.
And we haven't heard from
David Brock. Matt. David Brock alleges that Matt Drudge was coming on to him.
Oh, God. David Brock is so much better looking, but that's neither here nor there. Here's the funny part. Okay, does anyone remember, considering the source, some of Matt Drudge's other little news tidbits? The illegitimate... And, of course, it had to be black because that plays into the choir.
Oh,
black,
you're so right. Bill Clinton's.
And on and on and on. I mean, come on. And, of course, personally, Kerry at his worst is still better than Bush on his best day. That's a given. Do you ever read GQ?
I see it once in a while.
In the back of February's issue, here are some of the campaign slogans they came up with for Bush. You'll love them. The man who got us into this mess is the only man who can get us out of it. In your heart, you know he's not as dumb as he sounds. Reviving the economy to back where it had already been. No regime change here, Bush in 04. This time, he wants to win fair and square. A dangerous man for a dangerous world. Osama, we'll find him. We swear, vote Bush. And there are some others, but I just figured I would share. So at the back of the GQ list, on GQ, there you have it. But seriously, the thing with Kerry is, like, first of all, I don't think anyone is better equipped to beat Bush than Kerry.
It's looking, you know, Kerry doesn't come without a certain amount of baggage.
Well,
a lot of it is coming out now. And so we're going to find a lot of flaws in Kerry. I'm already beginning to see flaws in special interest money. He could have voted to impose a kinds of accounting standards that would have prevented Enron, and he didn't do it because he gets a lot of money from the financial services industry.
Well,
but whoever he is, he's better than what we got in the White House right now, so we have to get Dickey out, and we got to get somebody better in.
Well, also, you know, talk about special interest money. John Kerry doesn't need money. Not just his current wife, but his previous wife was very, very wealthy. I mean, this is
He himself doesn't have a lot of money, and they're wondering how he's going to pay the debt service on the $6 million mortgage he took out on that he loaned the campaign on his townhouse because he doesn't have the dough, and she's not allowed to repay it. Campaign laws prevent the wife from doing it. So, Liam,
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 22 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Post News Home Buyers Fair. The Boulder District Attorney is recommending that the University of Colorado settle the lawsuits that have sparked a recruiting scandal. The DA says the women who have filed the suits don't want money, just changes to the football program. Boulder police are asking the public to help them find a 14-year-old girl who walked away from Boulder Community Hospital about 11 last night. She was not dressed for the below-zero temperatures last night. Her parents and police think she may be in danger. United Airlines' new discount airline, TED, takes to the air today. Some angry flight attendants plan to picket and hand out flyers at airports in Denver, Fort Lauderdale, and Las Vegas. The flight attendants claim United reneged on a promise to provide comprehensive health care benefits for attendants who retired before July 2003. In sports, the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche, both on the the road tonight. Nuggets play the Trailblazers in Portland, while the Avs are in St. Louis to play the Blues. Looking for a new home? Come to the first ever Post News Home Buyer Fair Saturday, February 21st at Invesco Field, featuring the latest home buying options, exhibits, seminars, and more. It's going to be big. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
Sure, Denver has its share of talk stations, but we talk about what's important.
I would advise you to increase your knowledge.
Hear both sides on Denver's premier talk station, AM 1150, KNRC.
Get rid of high monthly house payments. Take advantage of some of the best interest rates in history, as low as 3.25%. Then call Western State Mortgage at 303-754-4911 and get a loan package custom tailored for your individual needs and lower your payment by hundreds of dollars per month. Start your 2004 with a financing solution from Western State Mortgage. Whether it's debt consolidation or home refinancing, Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad. If they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Western State Mortgage will guarantee your experience will be positive. So start your 2004 off right and call them now at 303-754-4911 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. So call 303-754-4911 or toll free at 888-617-5255. Western State Mortgage, your local refinance partner.
KNRC News Time is 12:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the Post News Home Buyer Fair, and trying to get that injury accident out of the way. It's actually on the right shoulder, northbound I-25 just before Santa Fe. You're still going to see some major delays backed up into the tech center. Looking for a new home? Come to the first ever Post News Home Buyer Fair Saturday, February 21st at Invesco Field, featuring the latest home buying options, exhibits, seminars, and more. It's going to be big. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Stenniford with the KNRC forecast on the Weather Channel. Bright sunshine, but kind of chilly this afternoon. We'll get up to a high around 26. Another cold night tonight under fair skies, or lows from 0 to 10 above. Lots of sunshine, turning breezy warmer Friday, high 43. And a nice day on Saturday, sunny, still warmer, high 46. Turning colder Sunday, risk of some snow shower. Sunday's high only 37. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenniford on AM 1150, KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 22 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live. Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it, just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
KNRC Market Watch.
Trading in stock of M-Clone Systems has been halted after losing a fifth of its value, falling more than $9 today. The biotech company had been waiting for the FDA's decision whether to approve its colon cancer treatment, Erbitux. Market Watch reporting the FDA has approved the drug. Erbitux is the treatment that got a thumbs down by the FDA more than 2 years ago, setting in motion the events leading to the Martha Stewart stock dumping scandal. Overall stock index is slipping right now. The Dow is down 42. S&P 500 losing 5. The NASDAQ is down 13 points. Airlines, for the most part, rising today. An analyst with Raymond James has upgraded stock in AirTran, calling it a strong buy. AirTran stock is rising 9%. JetBlue also adding 7%. One carrier not joining the others is United. Stock in bankrupt parent UAL is flat as the company places hopes on its just-launched discounter, TED. First flights of TED taking off today. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
He's looking out for you.
Listen.
Bill O'Reilly, weekdays at 10 a.m., exclusively with the Radio Factor on AM 1150 KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1244 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. Let's give away a couple of Simon and Garfunkel tickets right now. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Be the fourth caller. You're going to win a pair of tickets to the 7:30 p.m. concert a week from tonight. Feb 19th, Betcher Concert Hall. Did I say Simon and Garfunkel? It's Art Garfunkel is what I mean, if I didn't say it correctly. So if you're the fourth caller, I think we have a winner. You're going to win a pair of tickets worth $80 at Betcher Concert Hall, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Okay, the hot story, the blockbuster story, is that on Drudge Report, and I don't see it on any of the other major websites right now. Apparently, it's been being shopped around for quite a while. It has to do with the possibility of a marital infidelity, John Kerry, and maybe an intern, or they're using the term intern. Could have been some young reporter for one of the news services. That I'm thinking the AP is what was mentioned. And so here's my question. Is any of this true, or is this just... is this just a lot of campaign hyperbole? The AP is reporting this just in. General Clark is going to endorse John Kerry. It's also being reported that Clark's press secretary, Chris Lehane, is the one who has been shopping this little tidbit around for the longest time. Apparently Clark said something to reporters or a reporter that it's a story that's going to break. It is also, here's what's being reported, the Congressional Quarterly's Craig Crawford has sent this email out to his associates. The Drudge item on Kerry intern issue is something that Chris Lehane, Clark's press secretary, has shopped around for a long time. It was one reason the Gore vetters in 2000 shied away from Kerry as a running mate choice. So this is apparently old news. Their conclusion that it wasn't bad enough to disqualify him except for the fact that they couldn't risk it as they were trying so hard to distance themselves from Clinton's personal failings. Lehane then worked for Gore and had briefly advised Kerry during this campaign. So here he is advising Kerry, collecting money for that presumably, and shopping around this campaign item to this item about Kerry, this negative item, to anybody who would buy it. The Kerry camp has long expected to deal with this and has assured party leaders that they can handle it. Crawford reports that Lehane strenuously denies the involvement, and the AP is reporting that General Wesley Clark is going to endorse John Kerry. 303-382-1150. And also I want to congratulate the winner, Christopher from Lafayette. He won tickets, a pair of tickets, to Art Garfunkel's concert, Betcher Concert Hall. And this is for next Thursday, 7:30 p.m. We still have one more set of tickets to give away, a pair of tickets. We'll do that somewhere during the broadcast. And also we have a couple of gift baskets to give away from Sweet Utopia. Let's go to the phones to Dolores from Loveland. Hi, Dolores. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. You know, the Republicans don't put much store in homosexual people. And you know that's what, you know, Matt Drudge is. So why do they want to believe what he says?
Well, for all we know, he could have concocted this. You know, I don't know what Drudge's sexuality is. I only know that David Brock said that he was coming on to him, and so we don't know whether Matt Drudge is a closet case or whether he's a queen or just what he is.
Well, he has admitted. He's come out and said he is.
He has? I don't think.
Yeah.
Where did he do that?
Oh, my. That's been a long time ago.
Because I mentioned something about it, and one of you contacted Drudge, and Drudge contacted me and said, do we know each other? Do you know my lawyer? So I don't know if he's admitting anything.
Well, he admitted it a long time ago. And then, you know, every time I see Bush on TV, all I can say is liar, liar, pants on fire. And that's all.
He's going to have to walk around with a fire extinguisher. Is that a fire extinguisher in Dickie's pocket, or is he just happy to see us? All right, Dolores, I thank you for the call.
Goodbye.
Bye. 303-382-1150. What effect is this going to have on John Kerry's campaign? Will it sink him? Is it true, do you think? Is it just dirty tricks from the opposition? Even to plant the idea that he has been not monogamous, that's kind of, that's, you know what? That's really a tough one for the campaign in the wake of Bill Clinton. What do you think is going to happen here? Randy from Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How you doing, Enid?
Doing well, Randy.
You know, this is just a classic example of the least common denominator that American politics always seems to stoop to. This is just a completely unimportant story. It's not a blockbuster story. It's old news at best. And there are serious issues that need to be dealt with. And, you know, who cares if he had an affair?
But do you think that the American public is going to, if that's true, if they can't clean it up, what effect is that going to have on his campaign? He won't be able to run the country.
Sure he will. He had an affair. George Bush was a drunk and a coke addict who did nothing but chase skirts until he was 40 years old in the South. Now,
I don't know about the chasing skirts parts, because he got married before he was 40. I haven't heard rumors that he was unfaithful. Although there was something out of Texas, some woman said that she had had some relationship with him, and then she certainly thereafter was found dead, and I think they ruled it a suicide. So there's some murkiness around some of these issues.
Well, I don't think he's got the guts to have somebody killed, so I'm not going to accuse him of being a murderer.
Well, his father was CIA. They've all had a lot of it. Who knows?
Yeah, but I'm just saying. You know, in the rest of the world, and you know this, in the rest of the world, this would not get 1 minute's play. You know, in France, in the Latin
In France,
American country,
when one of the leaders of France died, both his wife and his longtime mistress and his illegitimate and legitimate children all showed up for the funeral,
yeah,
and all seemed to know each other and mingled together.
This is standard procedure in any Latin country. So, I mean, and by the way, only Drudge And the guy from the Congressional Quarterly have had any kind of confirmation of this. Nobody else has substantiated it at all.
You're right about that. It might be just a campaign dirty trick. Randy, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Dave, calling from Loveland. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Dave.
This is the first that you brought this up regarding the. This is the first time I've heard about this on your station. So I got a little take on that. This is just campaigning as usual. This is a Karl Rove. See, from my understanding from Karl Rove, this is typical from him.
So you think it's disinformation?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm not surprised by it. I actually expect it from that side. They have $200 million to that effect. They could give an intern $1 million. Hey, say this.
Well, that would be more difficult, I think.
What they can do
is plant doubt.
They'll do anything to win.
Oh, yes. That part I absolutely agree with. So you're thinking this is dirty tricks unless otherwise reported. Nothing in the mainstream publications. I don't see anything in the Washington Post so far. I see nothing in any of the mainstream publications, but we'll keep our eyes peeled. Dave, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
We knew you'd find us sooner or later. Now tell your friends about Denver's most entertaining talk radio station, AM 1150 KNRC.
I have a family. Then there's my job. 50, 60, sometimes 70 hours a week. My dog likes walks. Friends like to get together. I'm forgetting something. Oh, right, sleep. Gotta find time to do that at least once a week.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "Do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of." The wealth management experts at First National Bank of Colorado know that your life is full. That's why we offer advisors who can help high net worth individuals manage their assets and have time left over to enjoy their lives.
It's such a relief to have a wealth management expert who can help me plan for the future.
For everything from asset management to investment services and more, the wealth management advisors at FNBC take the time to get to know you and understand your financial goals.
Now I get to spend more time with my family and friends. I get to walk an extra lap with the dog, and every now and then I even get some sleep.
To secure your future, turn to the wealth management experts at First National Bank of Colorado. Call 303-308-3860.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Ford Quality Check certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous 115-point inspection. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile powertrain, limited warranty coverage, and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 4.9% interest rate from a private owner?
I don't think so.
If it's not certified, it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by March 31st, 2004. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Okay. KNRC Community Commitment.
Coal Creek Community Theater presents the award-winning comic drama Steel Magnolias. Evening performances will be February 27th and 28th and March 5th and 6th at 7:30 p.m. with matinees February 29th and March 7th at 2 p.m. All performances will be held at the Louisville Center for the Arts at 801 Grant Street in Louisville. For tickets to Steel Magnolias, call the Coal Creek Community Theater box office at 303-665-7211 or go to www.ccctheater.org. Let worry-free vacations take you to Puerto Vallarta. Get air and seven nights hotel for $370 per person. Call your travel professional or visit worryfreevacations.com. Restrictions apply.
Tune in Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till noon for Style Matters, sponsored locally by Aspen Grove, where life meets style. Style Matters is a weekly discussion of the Denver lifestyle as it relates to fashion and style. Hosted by Judy Schwartz and Evelyn Ehrman of the Style Matters column of the Rocky Mountain News, you'll hear lively discussion regarding fashion, style, local shopping, and more. That's Style Matters, Saturday morning from 10 till noon on 1150 KNRC. Sponsored by Aspen Grove. Shopping Colorado style. How did the Avalanche or the Nuggets do last night? Find out with Tony DeSiri.
Tony DeSiri.
Morning Sports Reports, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Well, then, what are they going to do tomorrow night?
Guess.
Oh, yeah, trying to take over the world. Right.
Kerry has to put all the information out and answer the questions. He should take a play out of the Clinton playbook, keep doing his job. He will appear in public with his wife at his side, which will reassure voters.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1255. On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, well, I hate to report this information to you, but guess who have split up after 43 years together? Ken and Barbie. They're just not going to be together anymore, and I don't know exactly know what the details are, whether they've committed domestic violence on each other or what. I was interested to see that John Ashcroft, Joe says he's always had his suspicions about Ken. I was watching a press conference with John Ashcroft, and here he is railing against steroids, and I'm thinking, it's not okay to take steroids if you're an athlete, but it's okay to pump up with steroids. The intelligence information in this country, just curious, we use steroids in one regard in our country, but in another regard, it's completely illegal. If you're just tuning in, what we are talking about is the blockbuster piece of news that may or may not be any news whatsoever, because no major website that we can see, no major publication has addressed it. But the Drudge Report is allegedly breaking a story. It's a thing that's apparently been shopped around for a really long time about some sort of marital infidelity that John Kerry was presumed to have been part of. We don't know if it's true. We don't know if it's just dirty tricks from Republicans trying to sink his campaign, because clearly he has them on the ropes and they will do anything to sink him. So you can make any kind of allegation that you killed somebody, that you murdered somebody, and then, you know, by the time they sort it all out, the election is over, and you are screwed if you were the one who was falsely accused. 303-382-1150. You heard just in that soundbite what one, by the playbook, what you would do if you have been accused of some kind of sexual impropriety. If you are a married candidate, you would have your wife at your wifey at the side, and you do stand by your man, and you present a unified front, and it would be okay with her, and anything okay with her is going to be okay with us. Can Kerry survive it? Is any of this even real? That's the question. And if it is real, who is the best, who has the best chance of standing up to the present regime? Is it Howard Dean? Wesley Clark is supposed to come out and endorse. The AP is reporting that he's going to throw his support to John Kerry, which makes a lot of sense. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. The Antonin Scalia, who we have reported here, we've been talking about this a lot, went duck hunting with Dick Cheney. He's standing by his ability to judge a case coming up. that Cheney is going to be part of, and it doesn't sound like he's going to recuse himself, and it sounds like he's getting more and more defensive. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, known for his tough talk on and off the bench, is not backing down in the face of criticism that he should stay out of a race involving his friend and hunting stay out of a case involving his friend and hunting partner Vice President Dick Cheney. So more as that continues. And yesterday, if you were listening, in Dusty's column, Dusty called me very liberal. But when I had him on, you know, I said, look, I'm anti-daycare, I'm anti-Bush, but I'm anti-daycare, I'm anti-motherhood for single moms unless, you know, something happens that can't be foreseen. But from the get-go, I'm anti a lot of these things. And he really didn't have any kind of barometer why he called me very liberal. And one of you sent me an email, and I thought, this is very interesting. Dusty never referred to, and no one ever does, Mike Rosen as very conservative. No one ever refers to Peter Boyles as very conservative. No one ever refers to that pork chop, that junkie at the Walmart across the way, as very conservative. So how come I am referred to as very liberal? What does that mean, and what are the benchmarks for it? And how wild-eyed do you actually have to be to get the very attached to the liberal part? 303-382-1150. More as we continue. Two more hours of Enid Live coming up right here, the Thursday edition. What are you listening to? AM 1150, KNRC.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 22 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Verizon Wireless. Boulder police are asking for your help in finding a missing 14-year-old girl. Diane Horak has been missing since 11 o'clock last night. She was taken to Boulder Community Hospital by her parents for treatment, but left the hospital just before midnight by herself and has not been seen since. Horak's parents say she was not dressed for the cold overnight temperatures. Horak is a white female, approximately 5 feet 2 inches tall, medium build, with black hair, blue eyes, and was wearing glasses. Anyone with information regarding her whereabouts is asked to contact Boulder Police immediately. Colorado elevators and escalators could get even safer. A state Senate committee passed a bill to set statewide safety standards for elevators and escalators. The bill was proposed in response to last summer's Coors Field escalator accident, which injured more than 30 fans at the 4th of July fireworks game. If passed into law, the bill would require anyone who builds, maintains, and inspects escalators and elevators to be trained and certified. A city report blamed the Coors Field accident on a mechanical failure and a missing safety switch. That bill now moves to the Senate Appropriations Committee. United Airlines launched its discount airlines TED today with a 10/18 flight to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. United's Ken Bostock says that TED is doing the discount fares the right way.
That combination of flying the airplane more and putting more seats in the sky is what gives us the ability to sell at a lower fare and keep our costs down.
Flight attendant union member Sarah Nelson Dela Cruz says TED is just part of a complete overhaul taking place at United.
United has spent millions on marketing TED as the slick new airline, and with a new image and a progressive image and a new image of United in general.
United started the discount airline to compete with low-cost airlines like Southwest, JetBlue, and Denver's Frontier Airlines. Jeff Potter, Frontier's CEO, says they're not concerned about the competition. Settle the lawsuits. That's the recommendation from Boulder District Attorney Mary Keenan. She's encouraging the University of Colorado to settle three lawsuits filed in federal court against the university by three women claiming they were sexually assaulted at recruiting parties. Keenan reportedly told CU's president the women don't want money, just changes to the football program. It's not known exactly what those changes are. Keenan stated the recent recruiting scandal, or started rather, the recent recruiting scandal at CU, saying in a deposition released 2 weeks ago that she'd heard CU recruits using sex and alcohol to lure players to the school. Keenan has not charged the university, any players or coaches, with any criminal activities. A personal trainer for baseball star Barry Bonds has been indicted, along with several others, in connection with a global sports doping scandal involving dozens of high-profile athletes. A federal grand jury in San Francisco handed up the indictments involving Bonds trainer Greg Anderson, Balco Laboratories, owner Vic Conti, and his vice president, Jim Valenti, as well as track coach Remy Corchemi. There's good news for Senator John Kerry in the latest Quinnipiac poll on the presidential primary.
He wipes out the other Democrats in the Super Tuesday primary in New York State. That's March 2nd. Kerry, 53, the second finisher, Dean, 12.
Poll director Mickey Carroll says the survey of the most likely Democrat voters statewide puts Senator John Edwards in third place with 8% support, followed by Reverend Al Sharpton with 4%, Dennis Kucinich coming in at 3%. Key members of the Bush administration are continuing to defend the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. Addressing the growing controversy over pre-war intelligence, Secretary of State Colin Powell told a Senate hearing that Bush and his national security team expected to find stockpiles of WMD based on the best available intelligence.
It was not a political case. It was a solid intelligence case that represented the best judgment of the intelligence community.
President Bush recently appointed an independent commission to probe pre-war intelligence failures and the assumptions that led to war. Massachusetts legislators resumed their debate on whether to ban gay marriage a day after lawmakers rejected compromise measures that would have opened the door to gay civil unions. Stocks continue lower with an hour left in the trading session. The Dow down 35 points, the Nasdaq down 11, the S&P 500 down almost 5 points. In sports, road trips on tap for both the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets tonight. Avs play the Blues in St. Louis. Avs and Blues skated to a 3-all tie when they last played in December. Nuggets will be in Portland to play the Trailblazers. Earlier this month, the Nuggets beat the Trailblazers. Now use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz's pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Now, the next generation of talk radio.
Talk with us.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. Can we talk about your beauty salon? Are you sick of paying high prices, dealing with snooty people, and searching endlessly for parking?
We can solve your problem. Try Salon Mercedes, conveniently located at I-25 in Orchard. You'll feel at home with the friendly staff. I know I do. Enjoy plenty of free parking, reasonable prices, and unlike many salons, Salon Mercedes is open Mondays. Call 303-741-0606 for an appointment.
Their highly trained, experienced staff always gives great service. Salon Mercedes is the only Denver salon designated elite by Creative Nails Design, the top nail care company in the country.
Hairstylists use the best color line from Europe. The salon carries Bumble and Bumble and Pureology hair products and the Yonka Paris skincare line.
Salon Mercedes, located at I-25 in Orchard. Open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7, Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. Gift certificates available. 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Getting back to normal around the metro area, this traffic report is brought to you by Pep Boys. The last of the accidents, northbound I-25 at Santa Fe, up out of the way. So all the delays that you were seeing northbound I-25 from the tech center into downtown should be rapidly diminishing, so that's good news. Everything else is quite nice. Choose from Pep Boys for a name brand oil change at just $14.88. Choose from Castrol, Pennzoil, Valvoline, Quaker State, or others in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. See store for details. Pep Boys, they're car people. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Stinneford with the KNRC forecast on the Weather Channel. Bright sunshine, but kind of chilly this afternoon. We'll get up to a high around 26. Another cold night tonight under fair skies, or lows from 0 to 10 above. Lots of sunshine, turning breezy warmer Friday, high 43. And a nice day on Saturday, sunny still warmer, high 46. Turning colder Sunday, risk of some snow shower. Sunday's high only 37. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stinneford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny now, 22 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35, or when it breaks, on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We are going to give away a couple of gift baskets from Sweet Utopia before 3 o'clock, and we have another pair of tickets to give away, and it's the last pair that we'll be giving away for Art Garfunkel, his performance, Betcher Concert Hall, a week from today, the 19th of February at 7:30 p.m. So we'll be doing that sometime between now and 3 p.m. The pair of tickets is worth $80. The gift baskets are valued at $70 a piece. We have been talking about a blockbuster piece of news, and that is, it's from the Drudge Report, that there's some possibility that John Kerry might have been involved in some marital infidelity the word intern is used, but that's a word that's really loaded because of the associations with Bill Clinton. Now it comes out that this is old news, that Wesley Clark's former press secretary has been shopping around for a long time, and that kept the Gore campaign from using, from delegating Kerry or appointing Kerry the vice presidential running mate because they thought he had a little too much baggage. So this is apparently old news, and the campaign will have some response to it. The reason I bring this up, because there may be nothing to it, there may be something to it, it shows you how desperate this administration is. But in today's Wall Street Journal, I thought this was so interesting a story. It was called, it was headlined Sabotage 101, The Sinister Art of Backstabbing. And they go through a whole lot of how backstabbing can happen in an office environment. And then they talk about a guy who is about 30 years old. He won't give his name, and for good reason, as you will see as you hear the story. But these assaults, here's what the reporter is saying in the Wall Street Journal. These assaults can come even from the top, and then they talked about a guy who worked at a bank in upstate New York in the late 1980s where a trainee wanted to transfer to his department. He liked the guy, but his supervising manager kneecapped the applicant, saying he, quote, lacked initiative and follow-through. It turned out that that this person routinely shredded anyone in performance interviews in order to protect his own job. It was cruel, he says. But he said that blind ambition was the prime motivation. And here is the story of a 30-year-old executive now working in Seattle high-tech company, won't give his name, and you will hear for obvious reasons why. In 1999, this high-tech 30-year-old exec was teamed with a field sales rep who worked out of the client's office. He was the inside sales rep who grunted around headquarters supporting the work. After 3 months, he picked up the scent of opportunity and began wooing the client while taking down his colleague. He heard small complaints from her about the client, nothing big, but big enough, he says, and he began sharing these, quote, issues with the boss. When the client complained, for example, he would ask for it in an email. I'll see what I can do, he'd say. Then he would forward it to the boss along with his own note saying, quote, I'm powerless to deal with this. She's not being responsive, and the customer is beating up on me. So in other words, he was trying to sink his colleague, who is a woman, who had a little more power than he did. He would routinely withhold information from this colleague, who is a woman, that he was competing with and trying to sabotage, so that whenever she presented to their boss, the same boss they had in common, she was always somehow wrong. He went so far as to schedule meetings on an electronic calendar, but doctored her version so that she was either early or late to the meetings. Pretty soon, he convinced their boss that, quote, she's overworked, and offered to spend more time at the client's office. He was on the plane the following Monday, and she moved back to headquarters within 60 days. He says, there are days when I can justify what I did, and then others where I just call myself, and the word starts with an A. This is Backstabbing 101, Office Sabotage, The Sinister Black Arts. And those of you who have been involved in office sabotage, either as the perpetrators or the victims, I would like to hear from you, 303-382-1150. I think it's appropriate to talk about this because you could see this information that's been retailed and chopped around to Drudge, and he bit. Nobody else has so far, but I think they're going to have to answer it since he has set the tone here. He bit, and this is a kind of political backstabbing. This is a kind of political dirty tricks that could, maybe, we don't know, sink the candidacy of the potential candidate, Democratic candidacy of John Kerry. What do you think? 303-382-1150. And it's too juicy, not really, you know, not to discuss. Bruce in Denver, how you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm really upset with you for raising a unsubstantiated rumor when you're trying to get Bush defeated. You know, I mean, you haven't done anything to verify it. Did you even call the Kerry campaign to ask them about it? It's you know, this is an example of irresponsible journalism that has it's why people don't trust the media.
It's why people don't what?
Don't trust media anymore because you latch onto the juiciest details. Anything that has sex has some, you know, has a titillation value that you guys can't resist. And I'm talking about all talk show media. And
Bruce, I'm going to set you straight right now and listen while I tell you what talk radio is about. It's not journalism. We deal in facts, but we also deal with opinion. We deal with speculation. And this is a juicy story that you absolutely have to address. The
why?
Antidote, as
why?
I believe in censorship, I'll tell you why. The antidote here is not less conversation. The antidote is more conversation. If it turns out that this isn't right, we're going to find it out. It'll spin out. It'll spin out in terms of the truth eventually, sooner rather than later. But to turn, avert your eyes here is a whole different kind of beast you're talking about. And what you're talking about is journalism. And what we are doing here is talk radio. You have to look at these rumors. They are certainly a jumping off point for a lot of conversation, for speculation. Is this dirty tricks? We will soon find out. It will sort itself out. But to avert your eyes from it is, I think, like digging yourself into a hole and, you know, putting a blindfold on your eyes and you don't want to hear about it. I'm not doing journalism. That's going to be the job of the Washington Post. That's going to be the job of the New York Times, the Denver Post, the Rocky. They're all going to try to sort this out from a journalistic perspective. But what we are doing here is talk radio, Bruce.
Great. So have you tried to get somebody from Kerry to talk about this?
No, we're talking about it with people like you.
But, you know, the one...
I have shared what the Kerry campaign has said.
Which is what? I missed that part.
Oh, well, you should have been listening from the start before you started to call in half-cocked. Start out at noon, stay with me till 3 o'clock, and then, you know what? You will learn something. 303-382-1150. The Kerry campaign has been prepared for it. Apparently, there's what we're hearing from somebody who is involved in the Kerry campaign is they're going to handle it along the lines that Clinton handled it with his allegations. You know, you'll be seeing more pictures of Teresa looking up adoringly at John, and probably they'll bring in the family. That was what was theorized. 303-382-1150. Is Bruce right? Should we not discuss this? Is this not an appropriate thing to discuss in talk radio? I think this is red meat for talk radio. We're trying to defeat George W. Dickey Bush. But Bruce is saying that we should not touch a subject like this. What do you think? 303-382-1150. Do you just let it molder and other people are going to jump on it? It's out there. You got to do something with it. People are going to have opinions about it. And remember, talk radio is about opinion. It's about speculation. It does engage in factual information. We're not trying to bring you anything that we know is false, but this is not journalism. Journalism is held to a very different standard than talk radio. So Bruce is from the See No Evil, Hear No Evil school of behavior, and good luck to him. He can run his own talk radio show the way he wants to, but I think this is absolutely something that we ought to be discussing, just like Governor Bill Owens. Here's a guy who runs on family values, and suddenly after 28 years of marriage or so, he and the wife announce a, quote, trial separation, which, as far as I know, is still in effect. Maybe they just say it's a trial because they're en route to something more permanent than that. He never says that the separation has occurred because he never says no one else was involved. He never says anything about that. So it opens the door to a massive amount of speculation. And the air is rife with rumors about his behavior. I haven't heard rumors about her behavior, but I've heard rumors about his. We don't know if any of them are true. But unless you put out some sort of an announcement, I think you're dealing with a kind of inevitability in the rumor mill department. And some of you got very angry at me. Well, how can you talk about this? You don't have proof. No, I don't. That's the journalists are going to have to do that. All I know is that these are the rumors out there. And when you have made your reputation on family values, and suddenly you announce to everybody's surprise, apparently, that you are separated after all these years, I think some explanation is in order, and I think it's a fair question to ask whether anybody else was involved. It's a fair question to ask whether children were fathered out of wedlock, if there's anybody engaged in some other activity that was occurring during the marriage that would be contradictory to family values. We want to hear about it. I think these are really fair questions when you have held yourself out as holier than thou. And some of you have been angry at me for that. Well, it's not fair. You know, the journalists will handle it their way, and talk radio will handle it its way. 303-382-1150. Randy, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Boy, if this story is true about John Kerry, I'm really, really ticked at him. We just went through this. I mean, the appearances, and I'm a Democrat, but it appears that none of our presidential candidates can keep their pants on. If he took a vow of marriage, he should have honored that. And
if it's true, but we don't know yet if it's true. Now, I want to ask you the other question. Bruce says we don't have a right to discuss this. That it's very irresponsible of me to bring this up. Do you agree with that?
I totally disagree. We need to bring it up now, because if we don't bring it up now, we are going to have bought into nominating him, and it will be beyond the point of no return, and Bush and company are sure as hell going to bring it up.
You know what I think, too? I think that whatever the issue is, let's say it's a family secret, let's say you're mad at somebody, but you don't have the courage, or you don't feel that you have the right to bring up the issue that troubles you about that person. What it typically does is it festers and it accrues interest, and by the time you do bring it up, if you ever do, it's got so much baggage attached to it that it's like a nuclear war when you could have nipped it when it was at a more manageable point. And I think with these kinds of rumors, not to talk about it and to do a holier than thou until you wait for the proof to come in, I think the antidote for these kinds of rumors, as in topics that the right wing wants to censor generally, is more conversation, not less conversation.
I agree. And, you know, I looked at the Drudge site, and from what he's saying, it looks like that's the whole reason Dean backed off of his "I'm going to drop out if I don't."
Yeah, but he's also saying it's also being reported in a Capitol Hill publication that Wesley Clark's former press secretary has been shopping this item around for a really long time, and that nobody has bid on it, and that Wesley Clark mentioned it. Now, here, he was in, you know, they were rivals in competition with
sure.
John Kerry, and he mentions it in the presence of three or so reporters, and Drudge is the only one who bid, as far as I know.
Well, I hope that it's all hashed out and put to rest one way or the other.
Well, I'm glad it comes out now, so many months before the election,
yeah,
rather than 10 minutes before the election. That's right.
Exactly.
Okay, I thank you, Randy,
thank
for the
Enid.
Call. Let's go to another Randy in Rollinsville. Hi, Randy. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
Hi. I was actually going to make a similar point to the last Randy, if you can believe it. It's Randy's for Enid today.
Are all you guys Randys?
Okay,
are all
well,
you guys Randy pre-Valentine's Day? But never mind.
Yeah, I live up to it, sure. Anyway, I just agree with the point that it's a good idea that to go after Kerry with these things now. I feel like, because we know how Karl Rove runs a campaign, they essentially sneered at Al Gore for a year. And what we're going to see in the general campaign a lot more of is stuff about how Kerry threw away war medals, which we're really not hearing about now. Most people don't know about that yet.
Well, but wait a minute. Here's how desperate they are. They're bringing up interviews that Kerry conducted in 1971 with the Harvard Crimson or something. He may have been a student, or it may have been slightly after he was a student. I mean, from 33 or so years ago, they're bringing up interviews. Who wants to be quoted what you said 30-some years ago, and he had just come back from war, and he had a whole different outlook? That's how desperate they are to dig up dirt on him.
I agree that they're desperate because their candidate's terrible. But they're just trying to build up early negatives at this point. They haven't brought out any of the big guns. It's going to be a lot more stuff of quotes and votes that he's had over the years. They're going to say that he's weak on defense. They're going to show the pictures of him throwing away his medals over and over. I think it's a big mistake for the Democrats to go with Kerry. I think they're making a huge mistake. They always talk about electability, and it seems to be what a lot of Democrats are doing is looking for the guy who looks most like a Republican, not necessarily the guy who looks more like an electable Democrat. I think people are failing to look at who gets elected as a Democrat. You have to look at JFK and Bill Clinton, and you're looking at younger, talented candidates. Not some stodgy guy with a convoluted record who doesn't speak very well.
Thank you, Randy. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. More on the guy who doesn't speak well, Dickey in the White House. More on disclosures about his alleged military history. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Talk that stimulates your mind. AM 1150. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We're the Style Matters gals, and we love to shop.
But sometimes we don't like to shop for the same things. For example, I'm sick of looking for thigh-high white boots for you.
Well, that's because you have a short attention span. But there are two boutiques where we both love to shop. Posh and the Perfect Petal at 32nd and Lowell in the Highland neighborhood.
These two boutiques are more than just gift shops. They sell almost anything your little heart desires, such as Anthony's shaving and skincare lines for men, stylish hats, the accessory for this season, dishware, and decorative home items.
How about unique floral arrangements, the hottest new skincare line called Juice, and a bridal registry, invitations, and gifts? It's all at the Perfect Petal and Posh.
Two incredible boutiques, Posh and the Perfect Petal, at Lowell and 32nd Avenue in the Highland neighborhood. Open Monday through Saturdays, 9 to 8, Sundays, 11 to 5.
We both love to shop there because they give great shopping.
So you've tried every diet out there. Well, that's something considering there's over 17,000 diets on the market to choose from. Low-carb diets, low-fat diets, high-protein diets. If you're one of the 127 million overweight Americans, you've probably tried one or all of these diets, but without lasting success. That's where Monarch Health Sciences can get you fit for life with a new and complete solution to overall health. The Monarch Forever Fit program is based on solid science in the fields of nutrition, exercise, physiology, and psychology. No magic pills here. The program was created by some of the world's leading experts in weight management, world-renowned doctors, Olympic athletes, exercise physiologists, and psychologists. Join this winning team. Call now, 720-981-4622. Whether it's to lose weight or become part of the Monarch Health Sciences business, call 720-981-4622 for your free Forever Fit information kit. That number again is 720-981-4622 or www.monarchhs.com/foreverfit.
We call it drive talking, and you don't have to do anything crazy like break out the gold chains and the polyester leisure suits. All you have to do is go to our website, knrcradio.com. Look for details on how you can get a free KNRC travel coffee mug. That'll help on those morning commutes, and it may stop those stupid hot coffee spill lawsuits. There are few things in life that are free these days, but you'll find them at knrcradio.com. Go there, sign up, and the drive talking coffee mug will be yours. Just another way for us to say thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. Online, we're at knrcradio.com.
AM 1150 KNRC. Traffic makes us crazy.
Drive carefully.
But Darren Copeland makes the ride home just a bit easier. Keep up with the latest traffic info afternoons during the Doug Khaled Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
He is really the most credible Democrat left in the race. He has run a very clean campaign, has a positive message, comes from the South. I think people have been very impressed with how he has handled himself.
You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
125 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We're talking about these rumors that have been shopped around apparently for quite a while, and Drudge picked up on them, that there have been marital infidelities. John Kerry trying to sink the John Kerry campaign. He's the strongest challenger to Dickie Bush, stronger in many ways, certainly in his military history. The White House has released more documents to support President Bush's service in the Alabama National Guard, while several members of the Guard unit said in interviews that they don't remember ever seeing Bush at their Montgomery base. But they told the AP that doesn't necessarily mean that he didn't serve. He piloted jets as a Guard first lieutenant in Texas. He was assigned temporarily to the unit in Alabama, where he worked on the political campaign of a family friend. He was alleged never to have shown up for duty, and he was grounded from flying because he refused to take a couple of physicals. Why would he have refused to take physicals? That would be my question. What was it about his habits at the time where he would not take a physical? What did he not want the authorities to know? As Texas Governor George Bush prepared to run for the presidency in the late 90s, the top-ranking Texas National Guard officers and Bush advisors discussed ways to limit the release of potentially embarrassing details from Bush's military records. This is USA Today reporting. A second former Texas Guard official who spoke only on condition of anonymity was told by a participant that commanders and Bush advisors were particularly worried about mentions in the records of arrests of Bush before he joined the National Guard in 1968. Arrests, plural. All right, so if we're going to deal in rumors about infidelity, rumors that are going to sink people. We've got the John Kerry marital infidelity rumor going around the Drudge Report today. But here are records of arrests that Bush had before he joined the National Guard in 1968. We know of a drunk driving arrest in Maine, but what were the other arrests? Bill Burkett, then a top advisor to the State Guard commander, said he overheard conversations in which superiors discussed cleansing the file of damaging information. The White House dismissed Burkett's charge, saying it's an outrageously false statement. White House communications director. Now, if you bring up Bush's military service and you say that he was AWOL, they start attacking you. They say you're attacking the National Guard. But if they really could support where Bush was and that he had actually done his service, don't you think they would have made more records available? They're not doing it. They're making sketchy information available. If he really served the way they would like you to believe that he did, they would be able to support it and document it. And so far, they have been unable to do that. So what do? They attack you. They think they call you attacking the National Guard. They say it's outrageous for you to question the military credentials of a sitting president. Notice the way they defend him. Now they're saying this is an outrageously false statement, but they're not providing anything that counters it. Two forms of Bush's publicly released military files, his enlistment applications and a background check, contained blacked-out entries in response to questions about arrests or convictions. Let me give you this again. His enlistment application and a background check contained blacked-out entries in response to questions about arrests or convictions. Here were 500 people trying to join the National Guard, not so that they could get out of going to Vietnam. He jumps to the head of the list, and he's got convictions, apparently, and arrests. They're blacked out. Bush acknowledged in biographies published in 1999 that he was arrested twice before he enlisted in the Air National Guard, once for stealing a wreath and another time for rowdiness at a Yale-Princeton football game. But he didn't mention the part about drunken driving, which emerged later. The nature of what was blacked out in Bush's records is important because certain legal problems, such as drug or alcohol violations, could have been a basis for denying an applicant entry into the Guard or pilot training. Admission to the Guard and to pilot school was a highly competitive situation at that time, the height of the Vietnam War. So it was very hard to get in, very competitive. The National Guard cited privacy as the reason for blacking out the answers. The full, unmarked records have never been released. Well, if he has nothing to hide, why doesn't he release the full unmarked records? A communications director for Bush did not respond to a request to release the records with nothing blacked out, which Bush could do as the subject of the record. So he's not going to make it available. What does that tell you about the records? He doesn't want you to see them. Apparently, the State Guard commander discussed cleansing Bush's military files of embarrassing or incriminating documents in the summer of 1997. At that time, Burkett was a lieutenant colonel and a chief advisor to this guard commander. He said he was just outside the guard commander's open office door when his boss discussed the records on a speakerphone with Joe Albaugh, who was then Governor Bush's chief of staff. Albaugh apparently told the commander, the guard commander, that Bush's press secretary, then Karen Hughes, was preparing a biography and needed information on Bush's military service. In an interview, Burkett said he called Albaugh's words, "We certainly don't want anything that is embarrassing in there." Burkett said he immediately told two other officers about the conversation and noted it in a daily journal he kept. The two officers, George Kahn and Dennis Adams, confirmed to USA Today in 2002 that Burkett told them of the conversation within days. Soon afterward, there was a meeting of top commanders at Texas Guard headquarters. Bush's records were carried between the base archives and the headquarters building. The meetings were confirmed in an interview with USA Today in 2002. So here was contacted at home. There was a Freedom of Information officer who was named William Leon. He refused to talk to a reporter. He said, "Don't ever call me again at home. I'll call your publisher and sue you," he said. Oh, my goodness. It's getting juicier and juicier. Well, as Bush would say, bring him on. Dwayne, calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you this afternoon?
I'm very well, Dwayne.
I have to say, you know, first off, I was very saddened to hear about the breakup of Barbie and Ken. I think they're going to find the dating world is a very cruel place for those without genitalia. So.
And brains, too, for
absolutely
that matter.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't tell one from the other.
It's doomed. Comment on Kerry, and then a quick question for you about why something Bush is doing is so under the radar. I think if these allegations prove to be true, I think the amount of damage that may be caused to Kerry's campaign will be based on his reaction to it. I think if he just steps up and says, you know what, I'm a human being, I made a mistake, I regret it, the wife and I have worked it out, let's move on, it'll be okay. But if he gets out there and starts asking,
do you think it will be okay? Because in the wake of the Clinton intern deal,
well, here's I think the reaction of myself, and I think a lot of other people, to what Clinton was doing is, if Kerry adopts a similar tactic where he's saying, like, well, it depends on the definition of affair, what do you mean by sex and things like that, I think people are more offended by that. I think people in general are fairly forgiving of someone who will step up and say, you know what, I'm a human being, I made a mistake, I regret it, and, you know, I don't plan to do it again. But here's my question when it comes to Bush. You know, and I don't care if you don't believe that we were at the very least misled into war like I believe, you got to start calling this guy the buck gets passed here president. I mean, when you look at his life, both in office, his business life, his private life, if daddy or one of daddy's rich friends haven't been there to bail him out, it is always someone else's fault. This guy does not step up to the plate and take responsibility for anything. But why is no one outraged by what this man, the games he is playing with the 9/11 commission report?
Well, that's an excellent question. Why they're not outraged at all the lying that has occurred, that we have really caught him at. People are still, but you know, I think the worm is turning. And I'm afraid, I hope these rumors don't sink Kerry, because I really think for the first time now, Bush is extremely vulnerable.
I think so. But, you know, here, for all you people,
the AWOL story, went nowhere in his first presidential election. And now, much to everybody's surprise, just like everybody thought Dean was not going to be anything, and then he was hot for so long, and then he just flamed out. It came back. Yeah. You can't. This stuff is really unpredictable. You really are playing with fire.
You know, the Bush supporters, I mean, they always claim that they love him so much because they consider him the prototypical great American. He's so strong on anti-terrorism. Their personal safety is his utmost concern. And look what he's trying to do with this report. There were obviously many people who dropped the ball when it came to 9/11, and yet he will not give them an extra 60 days, but now he wants to bury it until after the election. Everyone should be outraged by that.
I agree with you, and I thank you for the call. Louise, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I agree with what this last man said, totally.
Wayne. Mm-hmm.
If Kerry just said, you know, I made a mistake, and, you know, I'm very sorry, I think it'll be fine. And I think that would just shock everybody. You know, since Clinton, I think we've become very desensitized to this. Because look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. That was far worse than an affair. And he just skimmed right by. It did not cramp his style.
No, but as an actor, I think we held him to a lower standard. We were not surprised. He said, oh, well, movie sets are rowdy. That was the way he handled it.
Yeah, and I think all those...
And we didn't hear about penetration. We heard about poking, but we didn't hear about penetration, and
yeah,
maybe that's the difference.
In some extent, it was far more degrading to those women than a consensual affair. And I also think all the thing you mentioned a little while ago about Bush, I think at this point, and I know it's not very adult-like, but I think it's tit for tat at this point. If they want to bring something out, the Democrats can bring something out. And I'll tell you another
Well,
thing.
I hope they're busy doing serious opposition research. I hope they're busy finding out what Bush was doing and why he didn't take the physicals that he was supposed to take, and was he zonked out on something? What's the story here?
Exactly.
That's what I want to know. Louise, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 24 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the network of 17 John Elway AutoNation showrooms. A state Senate committee has passed a bill that would make elevators and escalators even safer in Colorado. The bill comes in response to last summer's escalator accident at Coors Field. More than 30 fans were injured when one of the escalators at the ballpark malfunctioned. There's a new airline in the air today. United's discount airline TED took off today from DIA with a 10:18 flight to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. United started the airline to compete with other low-cost airlines like JetBlue, Southwest, and Denver-based Frontier. The Denver Water Board has invited the public to an open forum tonight. The board will introduce preliminary plans for 2004, including water restrictions that might be possible. The meeting starts at 6 tonight in the Cheeseman Room at the DWB offices at 1600 West 12th Avenue. In sports, Denver Nuggets are in Portland tonight to play the Trailblazers. Colorado Avalanche, meanwhile, are on the road. As well, they're playing the Blues in St. Louis. At the John Elway Service Centers, the job is done right the first time at a competitive price. Plus, they have the right tires at the right price, all in stock now. John Elway Service Centers, they're the experts. Honest. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
Across the Front Range and the Rocky Mountains, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
Denver's premier talk station.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
Hear both sides daily.
Both sides.
On AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Trish McDermott, VP of Romance from Match.com. At Match.com, we do everything we can to help you succeed in dating. That's why we have so many ways for you to connect, like email, instant messaging, and voice messages, to name a few. Match.com also offers online dating tips and advice, so you always have someone in your corner. That's how we do things at Match.com. We never want you to feel alone. In fact, alone is kind of our natural enemy. Match.com, with over 10 million possibilities.
Blue Moon Floral is Denver's best bet for great deals on flowers for Valentine's Day. Their Valentine special features 2 dozen loose wrapped roses, cash and carry, available for only $24.99. Blue Moon also has a wide variety of plants, gifts, chocolates, stuffed animals, balloons, and more, in addition to a great selection of beautiful fresh flowers. Blue Moon Floral also offers delivery services for Metro Denver and the surrounding suburbs. They're located at 300 East 6th Avenue at Grant Street, or call and place your order at 303-778-7220. That's 303-778-7220. Blue Moon Floral, arranging flowers, gifts, and even deliveries to make your Valentine's Day special.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Let's check the roads. Here's Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Noodles & Company, and the highways are looking pretty good right now. We do have a problem off freeway, Havana, just right by Iliff, so that'll be a bit of a delay, but other than that, not a bad drive for you right now. Noodles & Company, soup, salads, and noodle bowls, sautéed fresh, served fresh as you like it. A place to take your time if you have it, or grab a dish and go in Parker at Hilltop and South Parker Road. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Stenefford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. A quiet afternoon, bright sunshine, but it will be rather chilly. Our high only 26. A fair and cold night tonight, lows from 0 to 10 above. Nice day on Friday, lots of sunshine, turning breezy and warmer, high 43. First part of the weekend looking good, sunshine Saturday, high 46. Some snow on Sunday, colder, high 37. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenefford on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 24 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Does your accounting firm really know you, your business, and your goals? At Earhart Keefe, Steiner & Huttman, we spend time with you to learn about your business and your goals. As Denver's largest locally owned accounting firm, EKS&H has been serving companies for over 25 years. The roots of the success of EKS&H are built on a corporate culture where service is our priority. If you're looking for an accounting firm that is progressive and will really spend time with you, there's only one name that should come to mind, EKS&H. At Earhart, Keefe, Steiner, and Hotman, we'll support you with integrity to help your business flourish. Call us at 303-740-9400. That's 303-740-9400. Or visit us on the web at EKSH.com. EKSH, Certified Public Accountants and Advisors. Trust that is earned.
KNRC Market Watch.
Lifeline for ImClone Systems. The FDA has just approved the biotech company's drug to treat colon cancer, the same drug the FDA rejected last year, which sparked the Martha Stewart insider trading scandal. ImClone's partner, Bristol-Myers Squibb, trading down 15 cents. ImClone itself has been halted. It last traded down over $9.
Some investors are spooked by kind of a manufacturing snag. Apparently, ImClone and its partner, Bristol-Myers Squibb, will need to submit additional data to win approval to use their New Jersey manufacturing facility.
That's MarketWatch.com reporter Ted Griffith. He says ImClone has a roughly four-month supply of Erbitux, and the company will need to have a manufacturing facility approved before that supply runs out. Watching Wall Street stock markets negative inside the final hour of trading, have been for much of the day. Dow Industrials down 44 points. NASDAQ is off 14 points. The S&P 500 is losing 6 points. I'm Joe Matthew in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Mike Regan. I'm glad to be part of the great talk show lineup and the Hear Both Sides concept. See you at 6 p.m. weeknights on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:42 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, or I'm going to give away a gift package. I said basket before, but apparently I was mistaken. We're giving away a Valentine gift package. It's from Sweet Utopia. It comes, what is included in the gift package is a dozen red roses, a box of hand-dipped chocolate truffles, and an aromatherapy candle. The package is valued at $70, and I can't give it away yet because the lines are all full with... I can't do this yet. And we people who want to call, so I'm going to have to delay. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to delay this. All right, be the next caller. 303-322-1150. There it goes. There it goes. The next caller, I think, will win it. Okay. Joe, I think the line six is the winner for maybe, maybe not. Maybe line six wanted to talk to me. Congratulations, whomever you may be. 303-382-1150. I want to share some information with you, which I've been trying to do and which I have kind of sidetracked from. First of all, the center of the focus, this is now federal law enforcement officials trying to find out who leaked the information about Valerie Plame. All right, the center of the focus, sources are saying John Hanna, who is Cheney's chief of staff, Lewis Scooter Libby. These were two Cheney employees. We believe that Hanna was a major player in this, one federal law enforcement officer said. Calls to the vice president's office were not returned, nor did Hanna and Libby return calls. This is the first place I have seen this. This was from Insight Magazine. So I want to share this with you that according to Insight Magazine, the investigation of who leaked the fact that Valerie Plame was an undercover CIA agent to Robert Novak and other journalists, the inquiry is centering around two people. Cheney's chief of staff, Lewis Scooter Libby, who's a well-known attorney, and also a man named John Hanna, H-A-N-N-A-H, just so that you know that, because I have not seen it anyplace else. A recent poll in Canada, only 15% of Canadians would vote for President Bush if they had the opportunity to. They're not very impressed with him. CNN has finally said that it overplayed Howard Dean's Iowa scream. It probably doesn't mean much to Howard Dean, but CNN's at this point, or maybe it does, but CNN's top executive believes that his network overplayed the infamous clip of Dean's scream after the Iowa caucuses. I agree with that. I was in Europe at the time. I was in Italy, as many of you know. But when I came back and heard the audio, I thought, where's the beef? Where is the big deal? 303-382-1150. Andy, calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Andy. Turn down your radio, please.
Okay. Real quick, I just want to let you know, I just flipped on Rush for a minute, and he's going on about that the whole Kerry thing, is the Clintons are behind it. He was saying that Clintons took down Dean, and now they're trying to take down Kerry. So Hillary can be elected in 2008.
What's his evidence for the Clintons taking down Dean?
He's just rambling on about it. You know how he is. I didn't hear anything.
Is he on or off the OxyContin, do you think?
I don't know.
Hard to know. Well, here's the story. Here's the story. A lot of Clinton operatives, here's where he's probably gotten the story. A lot of Clinton operatives were involved in the Wesley Clark campaign. And the statement was alleged to have come from Wesley Clark. He said it within earshot of two or three reporters. It got back to Drudge. Apparently, this is something that's been shopped around for a really long time, even as early as the last presidential election, and nobody bid on it. Drudge has gone for it because look at all the information, all the publicity it gives him. And if it happens not to be true, what does he care? He's gotten all the information out of it, or gotten all the publicity out of it. But maybe this has something to do. I don't know. I wouldn't rule it out completely. This might have something to do with the Clinton people who are behind the Clark candidacy. The Clark candidacy is history. If Kerry gets it, he'll have it in 4 years. And where does that leave Hillary? So you could make some case for it, but so far I don't see any evidence. I thank you, Andy, for the call and for the reconnaissance. 303-382-1150. James calling on a cell. Hi, James. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good.
You know, I get kind of a dirty taste in my mouth with all this politics of personal attacks and the assassination character for both, you know, Kerry and Bush. And any, you know, any right-minded male, or female, I should say, who wants to run for president is going to subject themselves to this probe, and nobody of any value could stand up to that anyway. You know, we ask our leaders to be, I mean, basically alpha males, like, you know, or alpha females in the case of Hillary, and part of that is sexual conquest.
No, we're asking them to be better than we are. We're asking them, we're saying to them, as the English say to the royal family, we want you to be better than we are, and we are willing to heap enormous amounts of money on you if you'll do that. We will heap enormous amounts of privilege on you if you'll do that. You're going to wind up living in a velvet prison, but if you agree to the deal, that's the way the deal goes down. And that's what we're saying about our own leaders. I mean, I've always thought royalty was a great job to have for about 3 years, and then you'd want out because you don't have any freedom. Or you do have some sorts of freedom, but other sorts of freedom you do not have.
Well, you just, I mean, you look at some of the great leaders that we had. FDR, didn't he die with his mistress? We heard about Kennedy's, Playboy mansion at the White House. You know, nobody's going to be able to stand up to the scrutiny, especially if they're the kind of guy who wants to lead, who wants to be the president. I honestly think that we got some terrible double standard here.
Well, but you're not. How are you going to change it? This is what it is. You got a White House who will stop at nothing if they're willing to out Valerie Plame, put her life at risk, and the risk of her network. They're willing to do anything it takes, and that tells you how valuable this job is to them.
You can't just hold the White House. I mean, look, they've done it to Gary Hart. They've done it to, I mean, almost every modern.
No, I want to say something. Gary Hart did it to himself. 303-382-1150. When he said, hey, follow me around, I'm clean. And then they found him wiggling with Donna, what's her name? Donna Rice. Donna Rice. Maybe she was related to Condoleezza. Who knows? George calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes. Good afternoon, Enid.
Hi, George.
Yeah. As long as we are talking about that talk shows don't necessarily have to rely on facts, but speculation can be indulged in much more than it does in journalism. Let me throw up the following thing. I have a piece of advice for John Kerry, or for that matter, whoever ends up being the leading contender for the nomination. And that's a very simple one. Stay off small airplanes. Do you remember what happened to Paul Wellstone?
Yeah. Oh, no, they wouldn't go that far, would they?
No, I don't believe. The word they is not the one I would use here. But it is entirely possible that some lower-level operative might decide to give his boss a favor. And some of these people aren't there pretty desperate at this point.
Oh, I hope it doesn't come to that,
George. I hope it doesn't come to that.
You should be writing. You should be writing thrillers. That's what you should be doing. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Sit very still.
Don't fidget while I talk to you.
You won't want to miss a word. AM 1150.
It's really
KNRC.
Thursday. Really Thursday, not Wednesday. I'm stuck in Wednesday land, so don't ask me why. This is the Thursday edition of Enid Live. All right.
Hi, folks. This is Larry King. Now, here's something you can take to heart. Welch's Purple Grape Juice. We all know by now that eating at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day can give us heart-healthy benefits. But did you know that just 1 6-ounce glass of Welch's Purple Grape Juice counts as a whole serving of fruit? In fact, a USDA study found that Welch's Purple Grape Juice has 3 times the antioxidant power of grapefruit or even orange juice. And as always, it's fat-free, cholesterol-free, and tastes great, too. So, would I start drinking Welch's Purple Grape Juice every day? In a heartbeat.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Arvada Center for the Arts and Humanities announces its 2004 summer camp programs. Session lengths will vary from 1 to 5 weeks during the months of June, July, and August. These inspiring and creative camps offer experiences for kids aged 6 through 18 in studio photography, hands-on clay, drama, orchestra, dance, and more. To register or request a complete catalog, call the Arvada Center box office at 720-898-7200 or visit the website at arvadacenter.org.
Avs fans, watch ESPN's Thursday Night Hockey. Peter Forsberg and the Avs battle Chris Pronger and the Blues, only on ESPN. Watch ESPN's Thursday Night Hockey at 5:30. Join our Voice at Work fraternity. If you listen to AM 1150 KNRC at work, let us know, and you'll get a goodie package, including a KNRC t-shirt. Go to our website at knrcradio.com and sign up. You listen to us on your way to work, and you listen to us on your way home. Why not get something free for listening at work? We like free, and it's a way for us to say thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. Our web address, knrcradio.com.
AM 1150 KNRC.
What are AM 1150 KNRC listeners saying about our unique Both Sides Talk approach?
I think it's absolutely wonderful that, I mean, the station has as a goal that it wants to hear both sides.
KNRC, you've got me hooked.
Maybe you are the next satisfied customer. Hear Both Sides Talk. Hear Both Sides Talk. Our personalities welcome opposing sides. AM 1150 KNRC. Denver is the third worst traffic city in America. Traffic. But we make it easier with Lalani Larson mornings and Darren Copeland afternoons.
It's too good to be true.
Listen to their traffic reports at least four times an hour on AM 1150 KNRC.
We call it drive talking, and you don't have to do anything crazy like break out the gold chains and the polyester leisure suits. All you have to do is go to our website, knrcradio.com. Look for details on how you can get a free KNRC travel coffee mug. That'll help on those morning commutes, and it may stop those stupid hot coffee spill lawsuits. There are few things in life that are free these days, but you'll find them at knrcradio.com. Go there, sign up, and the drive talking coffee mug will be yours. Just another way for us to say thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC, your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. Online, we're at knrcradio.com.
AM 1150 KNRC. Management at AM 1150 KNRC have been listening to the Doug Kellett Show played backwards, looking for hidden subliminal messages. Here's what they found.
John Kerry would make a great president.
Find out what he says for yourself weekdays at 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
154 on the Thursday edition. God, I don't even know what day it is. It feels like Wednesday, but I'm apparently a day late and a dollar short. Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 3 o'clock. We have yet another pair of Simon and Garfunkel, our last pair to give away of tickets. We'll be performing at Betcher Concert Hall a week from tonight, 7:30 p.m. We'll do that a little bit later in the broadcast. We also have one gift package to give away from Sweet Utopia. So we'll be doing that also. We have two things left to give away, as well as fabulous conversation, we hope. Lena, calling from Capitol Hill. How are you live with Enid?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I've been listening to you about how Dusty Saunders gave you that label, and I wanted to offer you one.
Okay.
I heard you refer to yourself as a moderate, but I'm not sure that's enough. I think actually you're
common sense is what I like to think of. Well, but what do I know?
A lot like me, I find things that I can like and many things I dislike about both directions. I kind of feel like a radical moderate.
That's good. I like that.
Okay.
One cancels out the other. We're a radical moderate. Oh, I like that a lot, Lena. Thank
you. It means you're not going to sit down and shut up.
It's not. You're not taking that laying down.
That's right.
Very good. I like that very much. I thank you for it.
Well, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye. 303-382-1150. Tom in Thornton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon, Enid. Just wanted to make a quick reminder to everyone about the Drudge Report and how they had accused the Clinton administration from everything from drug running to murder.
The where he made his bones, though, was on the Monica Lewinsky. But I guess the broken clock is right, is correct twice a day, too.
He got lucky. He accused him of just about
everything. It is what put him on the map.
And
he's gone. What happened? must be from the CIA. They did that. All right. Bill O'Reilly, who is on our air, has apologized to the nation for trusting the administration's proof of Iraq weapons. He had said in March of last year, in the run-up to the war, they're showing Hillary Clinton she's lost a lot of weight. How did she do that? This offbeat diet. You know what they're calling the Atkins diet since he died and he was so heavy? They're calling it the Fatkins diet. I know, it's so mean. Anyway, In March of last year, Bill O'Reilly, who you can hear on this radio station from 10 a.m. to noon, said that if the Americans go in and overthrow Saddam Hussein and it's clean and he has nothing, meaning WMDs, he said, I will apologize to the nation and I will not trust the Bush administration again. Well, Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly says he was wrong about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and that has made him more skeptical of the Bush administration as a result. He has a top-rated political talk show, as you know, on cable news, and he has a top-rated show here on KNRC, 10 a.m. until noon, Monday through Friday. He was confronted on Good Morning America about his statement before the Iraq War that if Saddam Hussein is overthrown and there were no such weapons found, he would apologize to the nation. He replied thusly. He said, well, my analysis was wrong, and I'm sorry. He said this to Charlie Gibson. I am much more skeptical of the Bush administration now than I was at that time. O'Reilly places the blame on intelligence officials for their pre-war assessments. I don't think there's any doubt about that. George W. Bush wanted to remove Saddam, he said, and in history I believe that will be a good thing, but I think every American should be very concerned for their families and themselves that our intelligence isn't as good as it should be. Now, he's not pointing the finger, as he should, at our leaders who are supposed to evaluate the intelligence information that they're getting. It's their job to make sure it's right. He hasn't done that. He says, well, I'm going to be a little more skeptical. Originally, he said, I'll never trust them. I'm not going to trust them. I will not trust the Bush administration again. Now he's saying, I'm a little more skeptical. Because the Bush administration can make all sorts of things possible for the Fox News Channel and for Rupert Murdoch in terms of ownership issues, in terms of FCC issues and so on. He doesn't want to piss off the Bush administration. MoveOn.org said yesterday that it would start another round of advertising against President Bush this week, bringing in more than $9 million, the amount it says it has spent since November on TV commercials attacking Bush. The group's latest spot is going to begin running for 2 weeks starting today in five swing states, including Florida and Missouri. The commercial features audio excerpts from Mr. Bush's State of the Union address in January, in which he made the case for war against Saddam Hussein a year ago. Ooh, this is so juicy. More as we continue one more hour of Enid right here on AM 1150 KNRC. We'll make some Simon and Garfunkel tickets available. One last pair worth $80 and a Valentine's Day gift package. Also, all of that coming up. Keep it right here on AM 1150.
Both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Under mostly sunny skies, it's 24 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Noodles & Company. Colorado elevators and escalators are going to get safer, hopefully. The state Senate committee passed a bill to set statewide safety standards for the people movers. Denver City Planning and Development spokesman Julia Jaco says that he's pleased the bill sets tough statewide standards.
I think that's a great thing. The city and county of Denver is eager to comply. It's important to Denver because we have the highest concentration of elevators and escalators in the state of Colorado.
The bill was proposed in response to last summer's Coors Field escalator accident, which injured more than 30 fans at the 4th of July fireworks game. If passed into law, the bill would require anyone who builds, maintains, and or inspects escalators and elevators to be trained and certified. A city report blamed the Coors Field accident on a mechanical failure and a missing safety switch. The bill now heads to the Senate Appropriations Committee. The Boulder Police Department is hoping the public can help them find a 14-year-old girl who walked away from Boulder Community Hospital just before midnight last night. The girl had been taken to the hospital by her parents for treatment, but then she left the hospital on her own but wasn't dressed for the sub-zero temperatures last night. Diane Horak is a white female, approximately 5 feet 2 inches tall, medium build with black hair, blue eyes, and was wearing glasses. Anyone with information regarding her whereabouts is asked to contact the Boulder Police Department immediately. Ted is in the air. He took off at 10:18 this morning, headed to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ted is the new bargain airline offered by United Airlines. United hopes that Ted will help it compete against other low-cost carriers in its effort to recover from Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Flight attendant union member Sarah Nelson de la Cruz says Ted is just part of a complete overhaul taking place at United.
United has spent millions on marketing Ted as the slick new airline. and with a new image and a progressive image and a new image of United in general.
TED passenger Vanessa Garcia says she's hopeful the new airline will keep prices affordable for travelers.
I think it's comparable to what we've been paying for, you know, on airfare wars. If it's going to be a regular type thing, then it might be advantageous to all of us.
Currently, TED just flies to Fort Lauderdale and Las Vegas, but starting in April, TED will begin services to cities such as Reno, Phoenix, New Orleans, Tampa, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Like other budget airlines, TED doesn't offer meals or some of the other frills found on other United flights. Frontier CEO Jeff Potter says they're not concerned about the competition. A federal probe into a global steroid scandal involving professional athletes has resulted in a 42-count indictment. Among those named in the indictment are baseball great Barry Bonds' personal trainer, a track coach, and two executives of the Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative, or BALCO. The charges include distributing illegal human growth hormones to athletes. The cancer treatment drug at the heart of an insider trading scandal involving Martha Stewart has been approved for sale. ImClone Systems won approval by the FDA to sell Erbitux for treating patients with advanced colon cancer that has spread to other parts of the body. ImClone's image and stock market share price were hit hard by a regulatory setback at the end of 2001. Just one day prior to the FDA's rejection, Stewart dumped her shares of ImClone after allegedly getting a tip that ImClone founder Sam Waxel was selling his shares. Massachusetts lawmakers are still wrestling with a proposed constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage, Judy Hewell reports.
For same-sex marriage kept up their rallying cry in the halls of the State House this afternoon as the sponsor of a proposal to ban same-sex marriage but allow for civil unions made another pitch for his idea, saying it represents everyone. But it was defeated yesterday, and it's not clear if state lawmakers will take definitive action on this matter this afternoon. I'm Judy Hewell at the State House in Boston.
Questions keep coming concerning the rationale for the U.S.-led war with Iraq. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and Secretary of State Colin Powell were on Capitol Hill today trying to provide lawmakers with the answers. Just before the close of today's session, stocks were still lower. The Dow down 41 points, the NASDAQ off 15, and the S&P 500 down almost 5. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche will be in St. Louis tonight to play the Blues. In December, when they last met, the Avs and Blues tied at 3 each. Denver Nuggets have an away game as well tonight. They're playing the Trailblazers in Portland. Nuggets beat the Trailblazers earlier this month. Noodles & Company, soups, salads, and noodle bowls, sautéed fresh, served fresh as you like it. A place to take your time if you have it, or grab your dish and go. In Denver at 6th and Broadway. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Soon to be the most listened to station in Colorado.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
What the devil is that gosling noise?
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Got Valentine? Get Sweet Utopia. Sweet Utopia offers a unique array of sexy and sweet gifts to choose from. Breathe the air scented with oils and aromatherapy candles. Delight in the hand-dipped chocolate truffles filled with passion fruit and rose ganache. Sweet Utopia carries the full line of Kama Sutra products, massage oils, and Essence de Provence lavender from France. The silk pillows, handcrafted champagne glasses, and fine jewelry are sure to please your senses. Sweet Utopia's Valentine's special, one dozen roses, one box of chocolate truffles, and a heart-shaped aromatherapy candle is a beautiful way to say, I love you. Come experience Sweet Utopia just off the corner of Zuni and 44th Avenue in historic Northwest Denver. Open Wednesday through Sunday, 303-403-1000.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Let's check with Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by JCPenney, and just not a lot going on right now. We are accident-free. Speeds on the high side, a little bit of slowing northbound I-25 through the Tech Center, so be aware, as well as a little bit of slowing through the stadium curve either side I-25. It's the JCPenney's President's Day sale going on now. Save 20 to 60% store-wide, plus an extra 15% off regular stand sale prices with your JCPenney card. It's all inside JCPenney. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Stenifford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel.
Bright sunshine, but kind of chilly this afternoon. We'll get up to a high around 26. Another cold night tonight under fair skies, or lows from 0 to 10 above. Lots of sunshine, turning breezy warmer Friday, high 43. And a nice day on Saturday, sunny, still warmer, high 46. Turning colder Sunday, risk of some snow shower. Sunday's high only 37. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stinnerford on AM 1150, KNRC.
Mostly sunny now, 24 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35, or when it breaks, on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. We have one more hour together, and in this hour we're going to be giving away tickets for Simon and Garfunkel. One last pair of tickets. We've been doing it all week long, worth $80. And we will also be giving away a gift package for Valentine's Day worth about $70 from Sweet Utopia. So I'll give you all that information as we get going here. It turns out that in the wake of all this Kerry stuff, potential Kerry scandal, Howard Dean is ratcheting up his attacks against Kerry. So this is going to be interesting to see where that goes. And an open letter from Michael Moore to George, I'm a war President Bush. Dear Mr. Bush, this is from Michael Moore. Thank you for providing the illegible Xeroxed partial payroll sheets, or whatever they were, yesterday or a few days ago, covering a few of your days in the National Guard. Now we know that not only didn't you complete your tour of duty, you were actually paid for work you never did. Did you cash those checks? Would that be legal or illegal? Watching the press aggressively demand the truth from your press secretary and refusing to accept the deceit, the dodging, and the cover-up was a sight to behold, something we really haven't seen since you took office. To watch or listen to the entire press conference, you can go to www.whitehouse.gov. More than one reporter pointed out that those pieces of paper your press secretary waved at them yesterday mean nothing. Even if they are not forged documents, getting paid does not necessarily mean you showed up to do your duties. As retired Army Colonel Dan Smith, a 26-year veteran, told the AP, pay records don't mean anything except that you're in or you're out. It doesn't necessarily reflect what duty you've actually performed because pay records simply record your unit of assignment and then all of your pay and benefits per pay period. Mr. Bush, continues Michael Moore, this issue is not going to go away. And I think, yes, I think the actions at the press conference, which I think were a couple of days ago, actually, just dug you in a deeper hole. You're probably wondering why the heck this story just won't die. You probably thought that after I brought it up last month and then got slammed by Peter Jennings for uttering the D word, deserter, the whole matter would just disappear as fast as a bag of blow being thrown out the window of a speeding car on a deserted main highway. Let me give you that incriminating sentence one more time. You thought it would disappear as fast as a bag of blow being thrown out the window of a speeding car on a deserted main highway. Is he suggesting that our president may have done that? I hadn't heard that one. But your, quote, desertion didn't go away, and here's the reason why. You have sent countless numbers of our sons and daughters in the National Guard to their deaths in the last 11 months. You, Mr. President, did this while misleading their parents and the nation with bogus lies about weapons of mass destruction and scary, phony Saddam ties to Al-Qaeda. You sent them off to a never-ending war so that your benefactors at Halliburton and the oil companies could line their pockets. And then you had the audacity to prance around in a soldier's uniform on an aircraft carrier proclaiming mission accomplished while the cameras from your re-election campaign ad agency rolled. That is what makes this whole business of you being AWOL so despicable and makes the grief-stricken relatives want to turn away from you in disgust. The reason you're skipping out on your enlistment did not matter in the 2000 election was because we were not at war. Being stuck in a deadly daily quagmire now in 2004 makes your military history fiction and your flyboy costume very relevant. You still have not answered the questions surrounding your National Guard service. Let me repeat them as simply as I can for you, all of them based on the investigative work of the Associated Press and the Boston Globe. Number one, this is Michael Moore writing. How are you able to jump ahead of 500 other applicants to get into the Texas Air National Guard, thus guaranteeing that you would not have to go to Vietnam? What calls did your father, who was then a U.S. congressman representing Texas, make on your behalf for you to get this assignment? Number two, Why were you grounded, not allowed to fly, after you either failed your physical or failed to take it in July of 72? Was there a reason you were afraid to take the physical, or did you take it and not pass it? If so, why didn't you pass it? Was it the urine test? The records show that after the Guard spent years and lots of money training you to be a pilot, you never flew for the rest of your time in the Guard. Why? Number three, can you produce one person who can verify that he served with you in the Guard during the year that your Texas commanders said you did not show up? Why have you failed to bring forth anyone who served with you in the Guard while you were in Alabama? Why hasn't one single person come forward? Number four, can you tell us what you did when you claimed to have shown up in Alabama for Guard duty? What were your duties? You were grounded, so what did they have you do instead? Number five, Michael Moore asks, where are the sign-up sheets that would have your name and service number on them for each weekend you showed up? Aaron Brown on CNN told us how, when he was in the reserves, he had to sign in each time he reported, and his guests from the Washington Post said, that's right, and there would be, quote, four copies of that record in the files of various agencies. Will you ask those agencies to release those records? Number six, if you were, in fact, paid for the time you apparently went AWOL, will you authorize the IRS to release your 1972-73 tax returns? Number seven, how did you get an honorable discharge? What strings were pulled? Who called who? Look, Michael Moore concludes, I'm sorry to have to put you through all this. I was just goofing around when I made that comment about wanting to see a debate between the general and the deserter. I had no idea that it would lead to this. And there you were, having to suffer through Tim Russert on Sunday saying weird things like, I'm a war president. I guess you believe that, or you want us to believe that. Americans have never voted out a commander-in-chief during the war. I guess that's what you're hoping for. You need the war. But we don't. And our troops in the National Guard don't either. I know you see the writing on the wall. So why not come clean now? We are a forgiving people. And though you will not be returned to the White House, you will find us grateful for a little bit of truth. Answer our questions, Mr. President. Apologize to the nation. And bring our kids home. Yours, Michael Moore. 303-382-1150. George, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Excuse the cold, but I just came from the Secretary of State's office, and according to the person who gave me the card, there's no reason that the April 13th caucuses cannot be used as a indication morem to impeach George Bush for high crimes and misdemeanors.
Wait. How if the Republicans run everything, how can we begin any kind of an impeachment? How can any kind of impeachment process begin?
I'm a Republican. I may be a delegate. I'm not the only Republican who doesn't like the loss of integrity and lying, being lied to.
And the loss of life, let's not forget.
Absolutely.
That.
We've been lied to. This war is a disgrace to our country, and it's up to us Republicans to clean it up. I don't know.
All right, so how does the process work then? When impeachment happens, how does it work at the state level? Does it begin at the state level? I thought it began at the federal level.
We can use this as a sense, as a caucus. The Republicans said there wasn't enough money for a primary, but they got enough money to keep fighting this useless redistricting battle. And so we can use the caucus on April the 13th to start giving an indication as to how Republicans and Democrats feel about impeaching.
Do you have enough Republican support for this? I would be surprised if the mainline Republicans who owe their bread and butter to Owens and who think that they owe Bush big time are going to let you get away with this.
I'm not sure. There's no way they can stop us. I was at a meeting at Panara's at 13th and Grant, caucus meeting yesterday evening. I've gone to the Secretary of State. I've called people. The Herald Dispatch newspaper out there in Sheridan's been doing a series on it. You know Bob Sweeney is probably better than I do. I'm saying Chuck Green is a columnist. If people start saying...
Well, I'm not seeing anything in the Denver Post. I'm not seeing anything in the Rocky Mountain News. This is the state's two major newspapers.
Well, everything, our radio station wasn't major. We're becoming major. You have to start somewhere, just like you got to start impeachment. Ben Nighthorse Campbell is running for re-election. He can be asked, how does he feel about it?
Oh, you think he's gonna diss Bush?
I don't know.
His bread and butter? I don't think so.
It depends upon what we get on him. It depends upon what you do. It depends on how many people are registered. Tomorrow's the deadline to register for a party, according to the Secretary of State. And I've got the written material. There is no reason we cannot use the caucuses on April 13th to give a sense of how we feel about impeaching our quote-unquote war president. There's no reason we can't do it.
George, I want you to keep me posted on this. I applaud your efforts. I am in favor of restoring integrity to the political process and definitely to the presidency, and I want to know how this is all going to shake down.
I'll keep you informed, but if you get something out to the people, register tomorrow. Panera's, there's a meeting the second Wednesday, 6:30, 13th and Grant. They haven't taken a position, and there are people who are talking about it. That's what caucuses are for, to start movements.
Do you have to be Republican to go to this, or can you be...
You have to be a member of a party to become quote-unquote official, but anyone can come. Caucuses are open. Come speak your
mind.
Can
you be a registered Democrat and come?
Registered Democrat spoke to us last night. David Fogel was a chair of the Denver Democratic Party. He was there. I'm a Republican.
Let me ask you, if the election were held today and it was Kerry Bush, who would you vote for?
Well, there's some things you mentioned this morning, earlier this afternoon about Mr. Kerry that we're checking into, but I would say there are a lot of people saying the Republican Party needs to regain its integrity. It's up to us to clean up the mess. And by the way, Article 2, Section 4 says the president and vice president can be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, and this is certainly worse than anything called Monica or even Watergate.
I'm with you on this, George. I am looking forward to your next report, and I thank you very much for all your efforts. I want to say something here. If you were listening to the show yesterday, we have had a number of people on, biographers of Bush, Kevin Phillips, for example, who's written about the Bush dishonesty and the Bush dynasty. And we had yesterday Ron Suskind, who wrote the book about with Paul O'Neill, former Bush Treasury Secretary. And everybody says the same thing, that the calculations made in the White House are all political calculations. In other words, nobody is doing policy. And what that means is nobody is making decisions on what is good for the country, what is good for the greatest number of people in this country. That is not what they're making decisions based on. They're making decisions on what is good for them and how they can keep themselves in office. And if they can scare us enough and scare up another war and be a war president and convince us that that's what they are, then that's what's going to keep them in office. Now, that should raise the hairs on the back of your neck. I know people are looking to try and find jobs. Many, many people are out of work. It's like, I can't get involved with the political process right now. I just have to feed my family. I have to be able to pay the rent. I'm just running just to keep in place. A lot of people in that position. But there are also a lot of people who see the correlation and who have a little bit of time and can get more involved than they're getting. And this is the time to do it, because I really think this is a crossroads where the country's going to go. You have 4 more years of this crew. You are not going to have a country that's recognizable. That's what I think. 303-382-1150. You will have a raped, pillaged country. You will have a country that is en route, if not already there, to becoming a shell of what its former glory was, a shell of democracy. And I'm going to share some stories with you that should absolutely have you sitting up in your chair in outrage as we continue. 303-382-1150. Right now, I want you to be the fourth caller, 303-382-1150, and you're going to get a pair of tickets to Simon and Garfunkel a week from tonight, 7:30, Betcher Concert Hall. If you are the number four caller, you will win a pair of tickets that are worth $80, 7:30, Betcher Concert Hall. I think we have a winner. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Warning, listening to AM 1150 KNRC can be addictive, but never hazardous to your health. Tell your friends about Denver's most compelling radio talk station, AM 1150 KNRC.
Do you know the story? It's about a war, the very worst kind. It ripped apart our country, set American against American, North against South, free against slave. Now John Brown's Body, the newest production at the Denver Center Theater Company, brings to life the story of the Civil War. You meet Lincoln and Davis. You hear from Southern belles and Northern ladies. You sit across from slave traders as well as freedom fighters. you see the world through the eyes of a Yankee soldier and his Confederate counterpart. John Brown's body transports you to the most troubled chapter in our country's history and gives voice to the human experience behind the facts and dates. John Brown's Body plays January 29th through February 28th at the Denver Center Theater Company. Do you know the story? The whole story?
Visit denvercenter.org or call 303-893-4100 today for your tickets.
Get rid of high monthly house payments. Take advantage of some of the best interest rates in history, as low as 3.25%. Then call Western State Mortgage at 303-754-4911 and get a loan package custom tailored for your individual needs and lower your payment by hundreds of dollars per month. Start your 2004 with a financing solution from Western State Mortgage. Whether it's debt consolidation or home refinancing, Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad. If they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Western State Mortgage will guarantee your experience will be positive, so start your 2004 off right and call them now at 303-754-4911 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. So call 303-754-4911 or toll free at 888-617-5255. Western State Mortgage, your local refinance partner.
For 12 years, the Radio Disney All About Kids Expo has provided exciting and fun entertainment for the whole family. Mark your calendar now for Saturday, February 21st and Sunday, February 22nd to be at the Colorado Convention Center for this great kids event. Showcasing games such as the Diaper Derby, Miniature Golf, and other great kids activities, the Expo features nonstop interactive fun for kids ages 1 to 14. Admission for kids 14 and under is free with a paid adult. For more information on the All About Kids Expo, go to www.all-about-kids.org. Get better stock information than Martha Stewart got. CBS Market Watch, mornings and afternoons at 40 past the hour. Exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:23 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours. Until 3 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to be live from the Press Club. We have got a really wonderful lineup. John Enslin has been doing this. We'll have John Lendorf from the Rocky Mountain News, his wife Betsy Lendorf. We're going to have a stripper from one of the strip clubs. Oh, it's Valentine's Day. It's romance. We're going to have a chocolatier from Fifth Avenue Chocolates. I mean, we have got it going on. It's tomorrow live from the Denver Press Club. We do these shows once a month. The theme of tomorrow's show is sex and romance because it's the Valentine's Day edition. We do have a winner, and congratulations to Jeff from Denver. He won a pair of tickets to hear Art Garfunkel Betcher Concert Hall. I'm going to go next Thursday night, 7:30. So, and we have one more thing to give away. We'll do that later on, and that's a gift package from Sweet Utopia on 44th and Zuna. You'll have to pick it up there, so just know that. Under the headline of You Can Fool Some of the People Some of the Time, but Not Everybody All the Time, more books coming out to show how George W. Bush has lied. Maureen Dowd has a big column about it. And let's see if I can dig that up. She's calling him the con artist, K-H-A-N, you know, like the father of the Pakistani nuclear bomb. She says, you know, I think President Bush has cleared up everything now. The U.S. invaded Iraq, which turned out not to have what our pals in Pakistan did have. And we were giving out willy-nilly to all the bad guys except Iraq, which wouldn't take it. In other words, where are the weapons of mass destruction? They're in Pakistan, but they're our friends, right? So why aren't we invading them? Bush officials thought they knew what was going on inside our enemy's country, that Iraq had WMDs and might still sell them on the black market, but they were wrong. Bush officials thought they knew what was going on inside our friend's country, that Pakistanis were trying to sell WMDs on the black market, but they couldn't prove it until about the time we were invading Iraq. The president is having just as hard time finding his National Guard records as Iraqi WMDs. And those pay stubs look as murky as those satellite photos of trucks in Iraq. After he weakened the UN for telling the truth, Bush weakened the UN for telling the truth about Iraq's non-existent WMDs, Mr. Bush now calls on the UN to be as strong going after WMDs. General Pervez Musharraf, pardon the Pakistani hero, a nuclear huckster, Dr. Khan, after an embarrassing debacle praising the scientists' service to the country, Mr. Bush pardoned George Tenet after an embarrassing debacle praising the spooks' service to his country. And so here you have these WMDs. The White House demanded tighter controls on black market sales of WMDs, even while praising its good buddy Pakistan, whose scientists were running a black market like a Sam's Club for nukes. Mr. Bush likes to present the world in black and white, Maureen Dowd writes, as good and evil, even as he's made a Faustian deal with General Musharraf. The president is spending $1.5 billion to persuade more Americans to have happy married lives, but plans to keep gay Americans from having happy married lives. Mr. Bush said he would not try to overturn abortion rights, but John Ashcroft is intimidating women who had certain abortions by subpoenaing records in six hospitals in New York, Philadelphia, Ann Arbor. I told you about this yesterday or the day before, and now it's on the front page of the New York Times. The president set up the Intelligence Commission with few intelligence experts because, he said, the best intelligence is needed to win the war on terror, yet he does not want us to get the panel's crucial report until after he has won the war on Kerry. Mr. Bush said he had balked at giving the 9/11 Commission the records of his daily briefings from the CIA until faced with a subpoena threat that it might deter the CIA from giving the president good, honest information. Wasn't it such good, honest information that caused him to miss 9/11 altogether and mobilize the greatest war machine in history against Saddam's empty cupboard? Mr. Bush says he's working hard to create new jobs in America, while his top economist says it's healthy for jobs to be shipped overseas. The president told Tim Russert that if you order a country to disarm and it doesn't and you don't act, you lose face. But how does a country that goes to war to disarm a country without arms get back its face? Mr. Bush said he was troubled that Vietnam was a political war because civilian politicians didn't let the generals decide how to fight it. But when General Eric Shinseki presciently told Congress in February 2003 that post-war Iraq would need several hundred thousand U.S. soldiers to keep it secure and supplied, he was swatted down by the Bush administration's civilian politicians. And he turned out, of course, to be right. Yes, Maureen Dowd concludes, it all makes perfect sense through the Bush looking glass. It's just a bunch of lies. They are subpoenaing records to find out about women's abortions because a group of doctors is suing the Justice Department on the issue of late-term abortion. Health care costs are going to skyrocket. I want to know who's making the money in health care because a lot of the doctors are certainly not. Pharmacists is fired for denying the morning-after pill. Eckerd has fired three pharmacists who declined to fill an emergency contraceptive prescription for a woman who had been raped. One of the pharmacists said because it conflicted with their religious beliefs. Can you believe that? This is what the country, we're becoming a Taliban here, this faith-based crowd who are interested in only their own greed are allowed to continue for the next 4 years. 303-382-1150, Gerard in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. This is Gerard. How you doing?
Good.
Good. You know, big fan. Don't get much of a chance to listen to your show. But anyways, I wanted to touch
Thank you.
Base on
is
that.
This a first time, is this your first time calling?
Yes, it sure is.
Oh, wait a minute. We have something for you.
Good feeling. I had a quick comment or statement on that policy versus politics. You know, the Iraq item or the war, as far as when this whole started, when the new Bush came out and began talking about, well, this is a problem, we need to go over there, we need to disarm them. I'm curious, and my question that I would love to ask him is, well, what happened for it suddenly to become so urgent? You know, of course, 9/11 happened, we had different priorities. But after that, what happened for us to suddenly set our concentration on Iraq? You
well,
know,
that was the question I continued to ask. Why not let the diplomatic process do what it was going to do? Saddam Hussein was effectively marginalized. He was not a threat at the time that we went into Iraq.
I agree.
There was whatever he may have had, there was so much scrutiny on him, his hands were tied behind his back. He wasn't a threat. Should he have become a threat, that's a different story. But he was not a threat.
Yes, I definitely agree. And, you know, personally, when I heard Colin Powell's speech to the UN, I thought, well, you know, maybe we should go in there. Of course, in hindsight, well, maybe we should not have.
Were you in favor of the war then?
You know, at first I was not. But after I heard Colin Powell speak to the UN and I saw pictures and he, personally, I as a belief, I do kind of trust when a general stands up in front of a national
community. A lot of people, Gerard, who were on the fence believed Colin Powell. A lot of people who were on the fence believed an Iran analyst named Kevin Pollack, and Kevin Pollack has since said that he feels like he's been duped.
Yeah.
So it can. All right, I thank you very much for the call. 303-382-1150. John on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Well, I
think I just want to weigh in on who I think the Democratic ticket's going to be in 2000.
I was going to say Carrie Edwards, but what do you think?
Well, I think a bombshell's going to be dropped in Boston, and I think you're going to see a Clinton and Clark ticket.
What bombshell is going to drop in Boston? Are you talking about the allegations about Kerry and the marital infidelities?
I think that's when Hillary Clinton's going to step forward and try to save the Democratic Party. You know, the Democrats here, they were told Howard Dean was their guy, and he's fallen by the wayside. And now Kerry, he's fallen by the wayside. I don't expect them to go for their number three choice in Edwards, so I think 2008 isn't when Hillary's going to try to run. I think it's going to be this year.
All right. Let's see what happens. Thanks for the prediction. 303-382-1150. One that leaves a line open. We've had a full board here. 303-382-1150. Jack in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, are you giving away kisses for Valentine's Day, or is that just for the first time callers? If you're doing it, you better do it now because you only got a couple more days.
I'm taking it under advisement.
Hey, what's your email? I've sent you a couple of things, but I get answers back from Doug Kellett, and somehow I don't know how you guys are mixed up over there. But
when did you get answers back from Doug Kellett?
Say on Monday.
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes we see each other's emails, and right now our system is down. So,
okay.
But my email address is enid@knrcradio.com. enid@knrcradio.com.
That's what I thought. Okay, listen.
And the web address, if you want to listen on the net, knrcradio.com.
Yeah, I've been listening occasionally. Well, listen, this whole thing that's got me concerned today is about the budget. The budget that's been submitted by the Bush administration doesn't ask for any more money for Iraq or Afghanistan, but we know it's going to be costing a lot more in the question.
And
is,
guess who is screaming about that? The security chiefs of the major services.
Right. And apparently they want to put that request off until after the election. And in the meantime, they're saying that the Pentagon is going to fund that with internal funding mechanisms. Now, where are they going to get that money? It's anybody's guess, but we know that they have a black budget somewhere. So the question is, how are they going to do this behind people's backs to try and keep the budget issue from coming up and torpedoing Bush?
Well, you actually have something that's happening right now. Service chiefs are challenging the White House on the budget. In an unusual public display of differences with the White House, the top officers of the Army, Marine Corps, and Air Force have all raised questions, and they did this on Tuesday, about how the Bush administration plans to pay for the operations in Iraq and Afghanistan after the current financing runs out at the end of September.
Yeah. And listen, Bush is trying to look like this great international leader, saying that he wants to stop nuclear proliferation. I think a good step forward would be to get Israel to recognize, to admit that they have a nuclear weapons program, number one, and then to have them sign any kind of agreement limiting any proliferation. It's too little too late, but I think, you know, it would be less hypocritical if it were to be done that way, but I say don't hold your breath.
Thanks for the call, Jack.
303-382-1150.
303-382-1150. Joe in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid, it seems like they're giving a lot of credibility to George. I mean, that caller before our last one already is dropping Kerry. I mean,
well, we don't know. I mean, so far I don't see it, unless it has happened in the last couple of seconds. I don't see it on any of the main media. I don't see it on LA Times, Washington Post. I don't see it on...
Who is this Winchell wannabe that gets all this credibility all of a sudden? You know, that's the big story today about Kerry, when the big story should be about unemployment claims going up again.
Yeah, but you know that sex is always juicier.
Yeah, that's true.
You than know, unemployment.
Nobody wants to talk about unemployment, unemployment claims going up, or nobody wants to talk about the fact that Bush has got to scramble because one of his cronies in his administration is saying, hey, it's good to get jobs exported overseas.
The whole administration is saying that.
I mean, one of the top people in his administration had said that it's good to export those jobs overseas, and now he's scrambling to cover up that. I mean, you got people here unemployed.
Well, for the administration, first of all, I can't believe an administration who's so finely tuned to political reality would issue a report like that, because I think it's political suicide to want to export. And these are not just the drudgy kind of a job. Jobs. These are middle class. These are radiologists. They are reading x-rays. Radiologists in other countries are reading our x-rays because it's cheaper. So doctors are screaming about it. A lot of people are screaming about it. And how you support businesses at the expense of citizens, who in the world is going to be able to pay for the services that these businesses offer if people don't have jobs? That's really the question. That immigration, I think, is beginning to sink the Bush administration. They are the WMD issue. The lies about the tax cuts and the deficit, a lot of things are beginning to come together. So we'll see what happens, Joe. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 22 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Post News Home Buyers Fair. A bill to make elevators and escalators in Colorado safer has passed a state Senate committee. The bill, which was prompted by last July's escalator accident at Coors Field, would require training and certification for anyone who builds, maintains, and inspects escalators and elevators. The bill is now headed to the Senate Appropriations Committee. Boulder District Attorney Mary Keenan is recommending that the University of Colorado settle the lawsuits that have sparked a recruiting scandal involving the school. Three women have sued the university, saying they were sexually assaulted at recruiting parties. Keenan says the women aren't looking for money, but instead want changes to the football program at the school. The CEO of Frontier Airlines says Frontier isn't worried about United's new discount airline, TED, which had inaugural flights today to DIA from Las Vegas and from DIA to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. By April, TED expects to have more than 100 daily flights in the air. In sports, the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche are on the road tonight. Nuggets to Portland to play the Trailblazers and the Avs to St. Louis to play the Blues. Looking for a new home? Come to the first ever Post News Home Buyer Fair Saturday, February 21st at Invesco Field. Featuring the latest home buying options, exhibits, seminars, and more, it's going to be big. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
Congrats to former Bronco quarterback and one of Denver's own, John Elway, for his election into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Ready, break!
We are proud of you. Congrats from the staff at AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
KNRC News Time is 2:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by the Post News Home Buyer Fair. Do have an accident coming in Sheridan right at 5th Avenue. Also Alameda and that's the Alameda and Santa Fe. Watch for that. Seeing some slowing southbound I-25 heading on down into the tech center. Not sure what the problem is, but watch out for some heavy traffic through there, as well as making your way on 225 on I-25. Looking for a new home? Come to the first ever Post News Home Buyer Fair, Saturday, February 21st at Invesco Field, featuring the latest home buying options, exhibits, seminars, and more. It's going to be big. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Stenniford with the KNRC forecast on the Weather Channel. Bright sunshine, but kind of chilly this afternoon. We'll get up to a high around 26. Another cold night tonight under fair skies, or lows from 0 to 10 above. Lots of sunshine, turning breezy, warmer Friday, high 43. And a nice day on Saturday, sunny, still warmer, high 46. Turning colder Sunday, risk of some snow shower. Sunday's high only 37. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenerford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 22 degrees. KNRC News Time is 241. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony and the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Experience a different side to the Colorado Symphony Orchestra with Dracula, Frankenstein on February 18th, and get your chance to play a theremin. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. To get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages took a dive after yesterday's big rally. This follows a couple of economic reports. Retail sales fell 0.3%, mainly because of a big drop in auto sales. It was the first decline in 4 months. Also, weekly jobless claims rose by 6,000. The Dow Industrials fell 44 points to 10,694. The NASDAQ lost 16 points to 2074. The S&P 500 was down 6 points to 1152. Big board volume was about 1.5 billion shares. Decliners beat advancers by roughly 9-7 margin. Just out, Dell beat quarterly profit estimates. Stock was down 12 cents before that news. Hewlett-Packard, though, the biggest percentage drag on the Dow. HP saying it will meet quarterly profit estimates when it posts its report next week. But some analysts are cautious about the company. HP also will introduce 8 new digital cameras. I'm Steve Orr.
How did the Avalanche or the Nuggets do last night? Find out with Tony DeSiri.
Tony DeSiri.
Morning Sports Reports, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:43 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. Okay, we're going to do it. We're going to give away the gift package. Let's do that right now. This is a Valentine's Day gift package from Sweet Utopia. It's a wonderfully charming shop that is has moved. I haven't been to the new one. It's at 44th and Zunai, so 2337 West 44th Avenue. You have to be able to pick it up there. Wait a minute. I'm going to start over. This is, how do we do this? Everybody is called in and the lines are completely full, and I didn't even say which caller, so we're going to hang up on everybody. We're hanging up on all of you. All right. Hanging up on all of you. Have we done that? Be the fourth caller, 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. The gift package is worth $70. It's a dozen red roses, a box of hand-dipped chocolate truffles. We have only three callers. We need one more. There we go. We've got it. Hand-dipped chocolate truffles and an aromatherapy candle. You can do aromatherapy. Stick that candle up your nose, and the package is worth $70, but you have to be able to pick it up at Sweet Utopia, which is at 44th and Zunai, 2337 West 44th. So I think we have a winner there. Congratulations to whoever won. Isn't that nice? We've done all this. I should have a gift basket or something. I need aromatherapy. Where does the therapy begin for me? All right, here it is, the Borowitz Report. Saddam planned to destroy the U.S. with the Atkins diet. Plotted access of obesity, says Bush. Saddam Hussein planned to destroy America by luring every man, woman, and child onto the Atkins diet, now being called the Fatkins diet because Atkins himself had ballooned, but it was because of some internal organ failure, apparently. U.S. forces searching Saddam's hideout in Tikrit uncovered the evildoers' plans to destroy the U.S. with a fat-laden diet, the president said. We now have conclusive proof that Saddam Hussein and his agents intended to turn us into a nation of artery-clogged, cellulite-juggling fatsos, Bush said. His evil knows no bounds. Mr. Bush said that the discovery of Saddam's deadly diet plot justified the war with Iraq, calling the Atkins diet a weapon of mass consumption. The Defense Department later made available a copy of a 17-page memo, apparently authored by Saddam, detailing his plot to make the U.S. part of an axis of obesity, including Britain and Spain, two key U.S. allies in the invasion of Iraq. According to the deadly document, the Iraqi madman's three-point plan was as follows. Number one, promote the Atkins diet. Number two, market Atkins milkshakes, food bars, etc. Number three, watch him get fat and die. The White House later confirmed that the first apparent target of Saddam's lethal Atkins plot was none other than Vice President Dick Cheney, who confirmed that he was going off the diet immediately. Fortunately, the vice president only gained 75 pounds while on the diet, White House spokesman Scott McClellan said, but the next Atkins shake could have been his last. In other news, Representative Dennis Kucinich, Democrat from Ohio, said that he now had the votes necessary to be certified as a mental patient. The Borowitz Report. 303-382-1150, and another borough. I have to share this with you. San Francisco has defied the state in a political and legal challenge to California law. City officials officiated at the marriage of a longtime and very prominent lesbian couple and then announced that they would issue more same-sex marriage licenses starting at noon. San Francisco. The act of civil disobedience, coordinated by top city officials, preempted a conservative group's efforts to block the mayor's plan to license same-sex marriages. The Campaign for California Families had said it would ask a judge for an injunction. Longtime lesbian activist Phyllis Lyons is 79, and her longtime partner Del Martin, 83, were married at 11:10 today by San Francisco assessor Mabel Tang in a closed-door civil ceremony at City Hall. This is according to the mayor's spokesman. The two have been a couple for 51 years. It remains unclear what practical value their marriage license will have, but the symbolism was self-evident. On a day when in Massachusetts they're debating a constitutional amendment that would ban gay marriages, what is really the difference between gay marriage and civil union? For all practical purposes, what is the difference? They are debating this in Massachusetts. Marilyn Musgrove is really going to try to take this one to the moon. Massachusetts lawmakers are going to try again today to hammer out a compromise on whether the state will recognize same-sex marriages and which rights it will allow such couples. Now, remember, President Bush wants to... Musgrave. Marilyn Musgrave. I should remember the grave part of that. She's pushing for the gay marriage ban. Remember, a lot of the right-wing conservatives need something to energize their base. And the administration decided that what would do it, more than anything, was the ban on gay marriage. And that really has evangelicals going nuts. 303-382-1150. I want to congratulate the winner, Jamie from Denver, who won the gift package for Valentine's Day. And Jordan just handed me this. This is a big Valentine's Day rally. Rally, rally, rally. Hands off our Constitution. Don't amend rally against Congresswoman Marilyn Musgrave's federal marriage amendment, sponsored by Equal Rights Colorado and the GLBT Community Center of Colorado. And what does GLBT stand for? I would think gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. You know, I only used to know about boys and girls. And there are a lot of gears between park and neutral in life here, but I'm all right. So here it is. And this is going to be on the east steps of the Denver City and County Building. That's 1437 Bannock on Saturday, Valentine's Day, 1 p.m. Who's going to be there? Congresswoman Diana DeGette, Mayor John Hickenlooper, Donna Redwing, Cheryl Jack, the new president and executive director of the Human Rights Campaign. Bring your family, your children, your friends, your allies. All are welcome. So this is Hands Off Our Constitution. This is not amending the Constitution so that you don't want to have any kind of a constitutional amendment that prohibits gay marriage. If you're trying to create a society that is more stable, where you already have a divorce rate of 50%, where children are raised in single-parent households, where a lot of dads are deadbeat and some moms are too, you want as much stability for your families as possible. Why wouldn't you have this, and particularly when it comes to issues when people come to the end of their lives, They are dying. Unless you are legally married, you don't have certain rights. But here you have two very prominent lesbians in San Francisco. One is 79, one's 83. We've heard about them from years. If you lived in San Francisco, you heard about Phyllis Lyon and you heard about Del Martin. They're always politically very active. They've been a couple for 51 years. They're defying the state, and they got married. Good for them. And you say, well, what's the difference? They were together for 51 years anyway. What's a piece of paper of questionable legal validity matter? It matters. It matters for a lot of reasons, legal reasons. And if you're going to grant them civil unions, which apparently President Bush is willing to do, why would you not grant them the status of marriage? Is it simply the word marriage, that it has to be between a man and a woman? Now, there was a case that the Wall Street Journal reported. A man died. He had married a woman considerably younger than himself, who actually had started out life as a man, but who had had somewhere along the line a sex change. I don't know if the man knew it or he didn't. He died. He left a lot of money. His heirs contested the will on the basis of the wife's sexuality, and I forget what the grounds were, some kind of duplicity. I really don't know. But this is a man who married somebody who started out life as a boy and somewhere along the line became a girl. Now, what would you say about that? Where does that one go? Is that domestic partners? At what point do you go from becoming a boy to a girl? At what point in that are you a girl if you were once a boy? At what point if you go from being a girl to a boy? Where do you officially become the boy there? When the genitalia surgery occurs? Just let everybody get married. If you want to get married, every little 17-year-old pisher who wants to have a wedding and a lot of gifts, as soon as the gift certificates expire, so does the marriage usually, and they're going to tell you that they want a contribution for their honeymoon and for their mortgage payment, and this is what I want, and if you don't give it to them, they get all bent out of shape. Every little 17-year-old, 18-year-old, I don't know how old you have, gets married now with a big ceremony or maybe a small one, and couples who've been together for 1,000 years, they don't get to get married. This doesn't strike me as right. And if you've had a sex change, when do you become the opposite sex? And if you had a sex change and they haul you off to the pokey, do they haul you off to the girl's pokey or to the boy's pokey? 303-382-1150. Joe, calling from Westminster. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, Enid. Well, I'm a Democrat. I've called in before. I agree with you on a lot of things. I agree with you that Bush and the Republicans are going to use the gay marriage thing. They're already starting to. I just hope that we don't give – well, we already have sort of given them the opening, and as Democrats, we've got to stop doing that. We've got to repudiate gay marriage.
Why do we have to repudiate it?
Because it goes against the values of the vast majority of Americans, and right and mine too, because...
Well, what do you have against gay marriage? Let's not talk about the vast majority of Americans. What do you have against gay marriage, Joe?
I believe marriage is meant to be between a man and a woman.
Well, but there are a lot of couples who have been together for decades. Is there something wrong with that?
What, you mean same-sex couples?
Yeah.
I don't think it amounts to marriage, let's put it that way.
Well, what does it amount to? If you've made a commitment with each other, it's certainly a lot more of a marriage than a lot of marriage you see when you've got a 50% divorce rate.
That's true. There's a lot of problems with heterosexual marriage, but adding one more isn't going to help.
Well, maybe it'll stabilize it. This is not a good... No. Now, you're arguing emotionally. You've not given me a good reason why we shouldn't have gay marriages.
Because the marriage has to be between... it's a complementary... a union of complementary...
What if somebody had a sex change and started out life as a boy and became a girl?
Well,
Should that be a marriage?
No, because I don't... I think whatever gender you're born with is your true gender.
What about people who are hermaphrodites? There's a big book out now called Middlesex, a novel that everybody's talking about. The narrator is a hermaphrodite. What if you're a hermaphrodite and you can choose?
Well,
Well,
fine. Then you're talking about marginal cases. That's fine. There's some room there. But, you know, on the general, on the main
I know somebody. Issue, I know somebody who's a trisexual. That means he will try anything sexual. Joe.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to leave it there. We're not going to agree, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You were listening to the Thursday edition, pre-Valentine's, of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Tell your friends about Denver's best kept secret. Talk radio where you can hear both sides throughout the day. AM 1150, KNRC.
Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for datatarget.com. At datatarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find datatarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. datatarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. datatarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. datatarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
3-day special at AutoZone. Armor All Wipes are on sale. Your choice of protectant, cleaner, leather, or glass wipes for only $2.99 a pack. Limit 2. This weekend only at AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Tune in Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till noon for Style Matters, sponsored locally by Aspen Grove, where life meets style. Style Matters is a weekly discussion of the Denver lifestyle as it relates to fashion and style. Hosted by Judy Schwartz and Evelyn Ehrman of the Style Matters column of the Rocky Mountain News, you'll hear lively discussion regarding fashion, style, local shopping, and more. That's Style Matters, Saturday morning from 10 till noon on 1150 KNRC. Sponsored by Aspen Grove, shopping Colorado style. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:57 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. Again, there's going to be a big Valentine's Day rally. This is on Saturday, 1 o'clock. This is against amending the Constitution to prevent gay marriage. Diana DeGette will be there, Congresswoman. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper will be there. A lot of people will be there. Bring your family. It's going to be at the east steps of the Denver City and County Building, 1437 Bannock. And that is at 1 p.m. Saturday, Feb 14. Wear your heart on your sleeve. Ryan and Aurora, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ryan.
Oh, hello. How are you doing?
Good. We don't have much time, so tell me quick.
My quick statement is if you say that marriage has, you know, people are hermaphrodites, they do this, they do that, and they have all these different things, then they should all be able to get married. What's wrong with polygamy, defining that under the term of marriage?
Polygamy has to do with a lot of partners. We're not talking about a lot of partners. We're just talking about one partner. So why would you bring up polygamy? That isn't even a good argument.
Well, it's just as illogical to say that these
people... No. You're illogical. We're not talking about... You know what, Ryan? Get with it. We're talking about one partner. We're not talking about polygamy. So tell me, why would you object? Tell me why you would object to two people who are of the same gender getting married to each other, or somebody who started out life as a boy and became a girl, vice versa.
Well, I started life as a boy. There are lots of people, women, that might want to join me in a polygamous situation. Why can't we?
But polygamy isn't what we're talking about. We're not in favor of polygamy. Polygamy is multiple partners. Why wouldn't you like people of the same sex to marry each other? Why would you have that problem?
I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying if you define it so loosely, then why can't it be...
We're not defining it that loosely, and you're making no sense whatsoever. We're not talking about multiple partners. We're talking about single partners. We're not talking multiple partners. Keep it to single partners. Why would you have a problem?
Why keep it to single partners?
Yeah, because you can't make the cases why you want to make it multiple partners. I mean, this is the most preposterous conversation I've had in the last 30 seconds. Joe Anderson, thank you so much for all your help. Jordan Lyle, thank you for yours. Doug Kellett, up next from 3 to 6, 6 to 9, Michael Reagan. Start your morning with Jimmy Lakey from 6 to 10, 10 to noon, Bill O'Reilly. I'm Enid Goldstein. I'm going to see you at the Denver Press Club tomorrow. Stop by, say hello if you like. It's the Valentine's Day edition. We have lots planned. John Enslin is doing a masterful job, as always, for Rocky Mountain News of producing the show. Do something generous. Leave the world a better place than you found it. I'm Enid. I'll see you tomorrow, noon to 3, on...
11:50. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 23 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by WB2 News at 9. TED took off today. TED is United Airlines' new discount carrier that is designed to compete with other low-cost airlines like JetBlue, Southwest, and Denver-based Frontier Airlines. Frontier Airlines CEO Jeff Potter says the takeoff of TED won't affect his airline in any way.
We have our own challenges as an industry, and certainly with Frontier we have our challenges, but competing against United is a matter of our day every single day. And so we look at this as not a dramatic change.
Jerry Morgan flew TED in its inaugural flight from Las Vegas to DIA and says he was encouraged by what he saw.
What I saw this morning, the biggest difference were the friendliness of the people in the service. Hopefully they'll carry it on.
TED expects to have more than 100 flights in the air daily by the beginning of April. Police in Boulder are hoping the public can help them find a 14-year-old girl who has been missing since last night. Diane Horak walked away from Boulder Community Hospital about 11 o'clock last night. She'd been taken to the hospital earlier by her parents for treatment, but last night walked away on her own. Her parents say she wasn't dressed for the sub-zero temperatures we had last night. Horak is a white female, approximately 5 feet 2 inches tall, medium build,